The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch, Paul Perillo, Andy Hart, Eric Scalavino. PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Lean on me.
All right. Welcome to PFW in Progress. I got a feeling it's not going to be your normal show today after the events at the Boston Marathon yesterday that affected Boston and also affected the Patriots directly. I mean, we had a number of people involved in that race at the finish line, still running. And, you know, we're going to talk about it today and kind of take this show where our listeners and emailers want to take it. You know, we might talk some football eventually, but I know what's on everyone's mind. I know moments after the bombs went off, I got tweets from just so many people that listened to the show wondering how Andy was, how the rest of the people that were running from the Patriots were, and I tried to get that info out as soon as I could. Andy got right back to me that he and his family were safe and sound, and I got that out there, and I know a lot of people were relieved to hear that. But, you know, just so much tragedy yesterday. You can't put it in words why someone did it, who it was. We don't know at this point. But it's just one of those things that we have to learn to live with, I guess, in this world. Paul's here. Andy is going to be here.
Oh, he is.
He's pretty soon.
Okay.
And a little later on, around 12:20 or so, Christy Berkery will also be joining us. Christy runs the social media for the Patriots, and she was running in the race and actually finished minutes before the first bomb went off. So she's going to talk about her experience yesterday. Andy was about a half mile away from the finish line when he was stopped along with all the other racers and told they couldn't proceed. And we'll hear from him what his experience was yesterday. It wasn't easy getting home, I can tell you that much. So all that's coming up for the next 2 hours on PFW Progress web radio at webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the ACE ticket hotline. So obviously you can call or email. But, you know, suffice it to say, so many people have emailed the show already or texted us or tweeted us just expressing, you know, their well wishes to Andy and his family and expressing how grateful they are that he's okay. As well as everybody else, and all those were much appreciated by us and by him. I know he tweeted out earlier today that, you know, he couldn't answer everybody individually, but he was thankful for all the concern. You know, it's just harrowing.
I can only imagine how many he got. I couldn't answer everybody individually, and I'm sure you couldn't either, Fred. It was obviously a tragic event that took place here in our city, but to see the reaction of people all over the world, literally all over the world, with the people that listen to PFW in Progress, it was touching. And you know, and I know that we do an awful lot of non-serious stuff here. And you know, yesterday was a tough day around here, and it was made a little bit easier to see just how many people, you know, really cared enough to check in. And in the stories, you're going to hear a million stories, you know, and certainly the Patriots, as you already said, Fred, very well, we're touched by this as well. And it wasn't just Andy, it wasn't just Christy, you know, there was a reasonably big, you know, contingent of Patriots people running, and their families is the thing that, you know, people worried about the most, because that's where, you know, the finish line was, and they hit the 4 hour mark, and
right,
and that's, you know, that's when all these people are finishing. So it was a really, really scary day, and we still don't know exactly what happened, you know, the extent, the scope, and
yeah,
you know, of the entire day.
You know,
there he is.
Other people who were involved, you know, Joe Andruzzi we were watching the news, and he was there. He had a bunch of people running for his foundation and actually helped a woman. And I just couldn't, you know, not think of what was going through his mind, having gone through 9/11 with his brothers,
yeah,
and then being right there in the middle of this one. It's just unbelievable to see him in the middle of...
It was striking.
Yeah.
It was striking to see, yeah, you know, not just... but everybody, just the first responders and how quickly, and you understand that's what they're trained for, but to do it and to train for it are two different things, and it was unbelievably impressive.
Yeah, and it was also lives were saved because of where this happened.
And how they all had the medical people that were there.
Right. You know,
the medical tent turned into a triage center.
Right. So, I mean, you know, thank goodness for that, the location. But the event will never be the same.
No.
It will always, you know, be now marked by this. I assume it will go on, and
oh, yeah,
probably stronger than ever, but it will never be the same. Just like, you know, that area in Manhattan will never be the same.
Right.
You know. Andy's here. Eric's here. Andy, good to see you.
You too.
Thought I'd never say that. But it's actually good to see you.
Yeah, thank you.
Those are words I never thought would come out of my mouth is referring to you. But thank you for getting back to me so quickly. Yesterday.
Well, I was trying to.
Well, I appreciated that because
you're lucky you carried your phone.
Yeah, and a lot of people
didn't.
I was actually passing mine around, and then the battery, I was in a conversation with Paul, and the battery died. But and it was hit or miss. And everything you're saying, it was a mini 9/11. I mean, I wasn't at 9/11, but when you watch those shows and it's, you know, people can't get in touch with loved ones,
right,
and the police are saying, get out of the city. And you're basically saying, well, how do I get out of the city? And
right,
it was our mini, and, you know, not the death toll and everything. I don't want to over dramatize it, but it was crazy. And the one thing I will say, and is really cool, was like how people were acting everywhere. You know, people like to think Boston's a bunch of, you know, DBs.
It was obvious on TV, Andy.
It was like, you know, everybody was sharing cell phones. I was right on the end of I was coming on Comm Ave and Mass Ave corner there. There's like a little park in the middle, and people, I assume those are students, I don't know, like, you know, just coming out with garbage bags and pitchers of water and pouring people glasses of water, and it was cool, you know, helping people get in touch. And I
know it sounds corny, but you were on earlier with Zoe and Gresh.
Mm-hmm.
And before you got on, I think it was Zoe or I forget who, but or Gresh saying, you know, it's kind of weird, but he remembers something that Mr. Rogers wrote in a book. Remember Mr.
Mm-hmm.
Rogers' Neighborhood?
Sure.
He said that when he was a little kid and he would see things like this and that disturbed him, his mother always said, just look for the helpers. Look for the helpers in situations like this because that will make you feel better.
And
it was certainly the case. You mentioned Bostonians. I just think it's the human spirit.
Right.
I think most humans will help.
But it's nice to,
you know,
I mean, even though maybe it takes something like this, it's nice to see it reaffirmed.
Yeah, it is.
Every once in a while. And even like walking by bars, all the bartenders and owners and doormen were, you know, do you need anything? Can I help you? And, you know, my wife and kids, when they get out of the finish line area, actually ducked into, I don't know where it is, but the Summer Shack. And they just sat down on the floor next to the bar, and the bartender brought them chips. And, you know, drunk men who were there to hang out and watch a marathon were being nice and talking to the kids. And because my son was – he was worked up.
Yeah, tell me about that. I mean, if you feel like you can't.
No, I'm fine. Well, first I just want to start with the problems I have are minor because all I keep thinking about is the poor man whose son isn't with us. But my son was – I mean, he saw it. He saw people that were bloody, and it's coming out in, like, bits. You know, I saw a guy who had blood on him. I saw a guy that was on fire or smoking who got to an ambulance. And they were – my wife thinks they were about 100 yards away or so. And they actually thought – she thought the first one was a cannon or – they thought it was some celebratory.
Right, everybody thought –
because she's never been there before, so – she doesn't know if they shoot cannons off or fireworks or whatever. And then the second one went off and people came to – and I think that one might have been closer. They came to the realization that chaos was ensuing. And this was – and my son started freaking out. I mean, the whole fight or flight thing, he was in flight mode. And that was my wife's concern. He was like literally shaking and just ready to run. And she was worried, I'm going to lose him in the chaos.
Right.
Mm. And he just was just screaming, "We have to go home. We have to go home. I want to get out of here. We have to. I want my daddy. Where's my daddy? I want to go home."
Right. And you brought him into work today.
Yeah. He's. Yeah. I mean, he's better today. Yeah. But he slept in our bed last night. He didn't want to go to bed. Yeah. And I feel bad because he's never really been to Boston. I mean, now that he's six now, so he understands things more. And Saturday we went into Boston. We went to the Red Sox. He had a great time. You know, we rode the T. It was very cool. And then this happens, and now Boston is like a bad place to him.
Right.
You know, place where bad things happen. And they were supposed to go to Fenway this week for his YMCA. That's been canceled, but he told me he didn't want to go either way. He didn't want to go back into Boston.
Right.
So Boston is like a bad place.
Right, and he's typical of so many kids that were on the scene that now their innocence has been taken away. They could be traumatized, you know, for I don't know how long, could be forever, you know.
Gretchen Zoe asked me, would you do the marathon again? Well, I don't know. But if I don't, it would be because it's hard and I don't want to train for 4 months. It'd be nothing to do with the bombing. But, for example, say I told him, you know, I'm going to run the marathon again. I don't see how he'd want to or want to go watch me because to him that's a chance.
And can you blame him?
You know, bad men put a bomb in a garbage can is what he kept saying. Bad men put bombs in a garbage can. And, you know, I just think it's this, you know, he's big into Batman and all that. Like, this is like they merged. Like, bombs really go off. Bombs really exist.
You know, that's so true. You know, it's the merging of what you tell them is only a TV show or a movie, and now it's real.
Right. Like, we're doing it now, and we're talking about it, and I think that's great to talk about it and for people to share their experiences and support people, but it's also everywhere. You know, like, we had the car radio on, and even though you're listening to the pop station, you know, so-and-so died today, and I'm trying to click it off because, I mean, he was there. I don't need to keep hammering home that people died and, you know, the number of people that are hurt, and they're talking about limbs lost, and it's just weird. It's something you generally watch on CNN. You watch it on CNN and say, wow, I can't believe they're going through that. Right. And now it's our area and our friends and families.
And you know, it's such a tranquil event. You know, it's like everybody's just out happy-go-lucky, having
it's a big club. You're either there to drink and watch people run or to run.
And you know, we obviously there's a winner of this event. You know,
but no one
cares ever who wins the Boston Marathon.
No.
It's about the people who come in at 4 hours and 5
finishing.
Hours.
Yeah.
Those
and
are
it's
the people.
About the,
that's what this event is
the
about.
The girls in Wellesley. Right. You know, this was my first experience, and it's about the girls in Wellesley or the random guy having a barbecue. And, you know, I don't know the towns, Framingham. You go through places where there's DJ booths in the middle of town and music and, you know, guys with whiteboards updating the Red Sox score and, you know, just little cool things. And
it really is a community event.
Like, what I wanted to tell you guys today when I was done, literally, I was thinking of you guys, was my favorite sign, which said, if marathons were easy, they'd call them your mother.
Did Christian write that?
That was my favorite sign. And I literally, as soon as I saw it, I was like, oh, I got to tell the guys on the radio about that. That's awesome.
Right.
And then, you know, things changed.
What's that? Oh, Christy's here. Yeah. Christy, come on in. You know,
I think she can talk from there.
This mic doesn't work.
She's
that's why
talk
she has
from
to
there.
Oh, okay. She can see you.
Hi, Christy.
Hello.
She's the fast one.
Christy Berkery runs our social media.
And runs a fast marathon.
For the Patriots. And, actually finished minutes before the bomb went off?
About 3, 4, maybe 5 minutes before.
So tell me what happened, you know, with you.
Well, as soon as you cross the finish line, you kind of go into super slow mode. So I only made it about a block in those 5 minutes or so. And I was getting the Mylar blanket, and we hear this kind of bang explosion. Everyone kind of looks back, and it looks like it could be, you know, someone next to me said, oh, generator exploded. So we kind of, get the metal handed to you. And, you know, 2 seconds later, you hear the second one, and that's when people kind of freaked out, started, you know, running down the corral away from the finish line, trying to get out of there. Nobody quite knew what was going on. It took a couple minutes for the people that were crossing the finish line when it exploded to really get to where we were and start saying what they saw and what everyone was kind of assuming was going on.
And did you have someone waiting for you at the finish line?
I did. He was supposed to be in the VIP bleachers across, so I called him immediately and luckily got a hold of him before the cell service was cut, and he actually hadn't made it to the bleachers and was further down towards the common, so I just kept heading down that way to find him. And then, you know, by the time I got down there and got everything ready, we couldn't get any kind of reception, couldn't get in touch with him, so it was a little bit scary just trying to find people. Everyone was kind of, you know, circling. There was the T had already been shut down, so nobody had anywhere to go, so it was a little hectic.
And, you know, right after that, you know, you are in charge of social media for the Patriots. So, you know, now because this is kind of, you know, Patriots people were involved, you know, you had to think, you know,
what should I do in terms of my job, too? And shortly after, the Patriots issued a statement on Twitter, which, of course, you were involved with as well.
Right, yeah. You know, first we're thinking, you know, we need to make sure all of our runners are safe, all of our charitable foundation team and their friends and family, but it's hard to get in touch with them that immediately with the cell service cut and just, you know, not everyone had their phones with them when they're running. People had stuff in checked bags that they couldn't get to, so... You know, our first thought was we wanted to make sure everyone was okay, but we couldn't, you know, we didn't want to put out any information that wasn't accurate. So we waited a little bit and just did kind of a general condolences, you know, that was kind of appropriate for the situation without going into a lot of detail.
Now, you've run the marathon before.
Yes, yeah.
So tell me, like, what are you going to think about going forward now? Because this is something where you've done how many times before?
This is my fifth marathon.
It's your fifth marathon, and now... Now it's changed, or has it for you? I mean, what are you going to do now? And what is your feeling about the marathon going forward as someone who has done this many times?
I don't know. I think it's going to take a little while to kind of let everything settle, and it still feels a little surreal. It still feels like we're watching something on TV, and I'm watching these, you know, replays of the video, and I was a block away from that and had no idea that that's what was actually going on there. So I think it's going to take a little while to settle in. I mean, I would like to think that this will probably be the safest marathon in the world going forward after this, and I'd like to think that people will kind of rally and do it again and, you know, not let this kind of defeat it, but it's hard. You know, it's kind of a scary idea. It's not something you don't think of a marathon being dangerous in that sense. You think of it as a, you know, yeah, you're going to ruin your knees and there's other risks, but that's just not something you ever consider. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how I feel in a couple months and going forward.
Yeah. I hope it's bigger and better. That's my hope, is that, and that would be something that would drive me to maybe do it again next year, just for the point of it. You know, there was, however, 27,000 this year. Go for 37,000 and go for double the spectators, and you can't stop it. I mean, you know, at some level, you can't prevent it, and it sucks if you allow that to dissuade people from going, and it's, you know, it's no one else in the world, I think, really cares, but in Boston, it's a big deal, and, you know, there's a lot of people, and, you know, I had heard, and I don't know, Chris, that's like the largest one-day spectator sporting event in the world. And it's about people having fun, and to allow something to take that away would just be unfortunate.
I think people would care around the world, or especially in the United States, if, you know, this act forced it to stop. I think people want it to continue.
I think it should go the other way. Make it bigger, better. I don't know how you do that. More people, more races. Just go all out. Make it bigger, better, and cooler.
I mean, it's not now. It's every marathon. It's not just this marathon,
right,
but
sure.
The New York Marathon and Chicago. They're all going to have to start thinking about this, and, you know, maybe creating this safe area that you have to go through metal detectors just to get into, open it to the public. But sort of like Fenway Park on game day, they close off the streets, and you have even to get in this area.
Well, you don't anymore.
Oh, you don't?
That's the thing.
Well, they will now.
Well, my wife actually said that when we went to the Red Sox on Saturday. Nothing. We bought tickets and walked in. They didn't search her bag. She has a large pocketbook. They didn't. I remember they used to at least touch you, you know, gently frisk you. There was nothing, because things start to roll back. You know, that was sort of post 9/11, and they try to ease up. And I just think at some point you realize there's risk in this world. There's bad in this world. And to live your life the way you want to live your life, you're going to, unless you want to sit in your house and just, you know, watch TV and not experience the world, there is some risk. But I don't. You know, they do bomb sniffing at the race before they allow people in. You don't want it to be a place where you can't bring bags. You know, that's part of the experience. You have stuff for your runner. You have what, you know, for your kids. You have strollers. You have, and you don't want to turn it into this secure environment like the airport where you have to take your shoes off to get in the door.
But at the same time, we want our lives to be quote unquote normal, but we have to be vigilant.
Right.
You know, this is the world we live in.
I just don't know where that balance is to make sure you're not. As I said, if you want it to be bigger and better, you can't dissuade people from going because they're going to stand in a security line for an hour and a half or take the fun out of the experience. It's still supposed to be a fun, enjoyable family experience. And I don't know what the balance is between safety and a fun experience.
Yeah. So, Chris,
so you got a medal.
I did.
Yes.
I did.
I want to come see that later.
What's the medal for?
Someday I want
for actually crossing the finish line. So
everyone that gets that little
dig at me in there.
No,
we're actually crossing the finish line.
Well, that's
what
the only
we get
qualification.
It's
the only thing. Either you walk or crawl. That's the only thing.
Let me just ask you: compared to your other runs, how did this one rate?
Well, most memorable for sure. It was my
no,
best.
No, I mean time.
No, it was my best personal time. So it was kind of a mixed emotion. You know, I crossed finish line 8 minutes faster than my personal
record.
So
that leads me to my next question. This was your best time. if you hadn't had, if you had a time, let's say you had last year, would you have crossed the finish line in time?
I would have been probably in that final stretch last year. It was about eight minutes difference, so I probably would have just turned on to, Boylston. Yeah, it's pretty crazy to.
You'd have been with Andy.
Yeah. I've been right around.
And if Andy's ankle hadn't twisted a month ago,
that's
maybe,
what I
maybe he would have been faster and would have been closer to when it happened.
Missed 3 weeks of training, there's a chance I would have been, you know, 15 minutes faster. And
so it's amazing how little things can mean a lot. You know, I don't know what you did this year to get a little faster. And obviously, you had the sprained ankle that slowed you up.
It's clear that the HGH is working.
You know, but
it truly teaches you. You know, they say live for today because you're not guaranteed to. But it's less than that. It's live for the moment, because I literally in my mind was like, I'm finished. I mean, I'm a half mile away.
Yeah,
there's nothing that's going to stop me.
If we had a bet from whether or not you would finish,
I was collecting.
Yeah.
You know, in my mind, I was collecting, and I was. You know, thinking David Silverman was there, our photographer, and he is okay. He was at the finish line, and you know, I was thinking, where did they tell us to look to take a picture? And like, these are the things that are in my mind, and then it just ends. It just stops. You know, there's a wall of people in front of you, and then everything else.
Yeah, I think over 4,000 people did not finish. So a lot of people,
and a lot of our people.
Yeah,
that's why I said, fortunately, there's a lot of slow people on the Patriots team, so we weren't in the danger zone because of that.
Yeah, Christy, you finished, and Brian Oates, who also works in our sales department, he finished. He's run a few of these.
Yeah,
before.
And I think three or four other people of the 25 on the Patriots Charitable Foundation team were able to finish.
Yeah,
but all right around that time.
Slow pokes like me and Mark Briggs, our security director, Eric Alexander, Donna Spigarola.
Yeah,
Connors.
We were back. We were back a ways.
Yeah. Any other thoughts from yesterday, Christy, that you want to share with us, or
nothing specific, but we're lucky. I mean, it's really sad to see that people didn't get to finish after all the training they put in and the tens of thousands of dollars people raised, and it's really unfortunate, but obviously not as big as the bigger
right energy. and all that money. And by the way, you guys did a great job. You raised about $250,000.
Yeah.
The Patriots Charitable Foundation runners, and it's not like that money's going to go to waste. It's still going to be there and given out. And And so it's still work well done.
Yeah, absolutely.
Even though some of you didn't actually get to have the thrill of finishing, across the line, you certainly finished the job that you started out to do.
Absolutely.
So, let's take a break now, Kevin. We'll be right back. Christy, I know you got stuff to do. Thanks for stopping in.
Yeah, no problem.
We'll be right back.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds are 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
Like so many soldiers returning home from combat, adjusting to life as a civilian hasn't been easy for retired Army Staff Sergeant Ben Dellinger.
The hardest part was getting out. You don't lose your friends, but like basically all those people get taken away from you all at once. It felt like my life was over at times. Everything I thought I was totally different.
American heroes like Ben face many challenges when they return home. That's why, for more than 90 years, Bank of America has partnered with military organizations to support jobs, housing, and critical needs of veterans and their families. We're also committed to recruiting and hiring veterans, reservists, and military spouses. And for Ben, we partnered with Military Warrior Support Foundation to award his family a mortgage-free home.
This is something I never expected to happen, and I'm truly grateful to each and every person involved.
To find out more about Bank of America's efforts, visit bankofamerica.com/military support. 2013 Bank of America Corporation. Bank of America, N.A. member FDIC.
Like so many soldiers returning home from combat, adjusting to life as a civilian hasn't been easy for retired Army Staff Sergeant Ben Dellinger.
The hardest part was getting out. You don't lose your friends, but like basically all those people get taken away from you all at once. It felt like my life was over at times. everything I thought I was totally different.
American heroes like Ben face many challenges when they return home. That's why, for more than 90 years, Bank of America has partnered with military organizations to support jobs, housing, and critical needs of veterans and their families. We're also committed to recruiting and hiring veterans, reservists, and military spouses. And for Ben, we partnered with Military Warrior Support Foundation to award his family a mortgage-free home.
This is something I never expected to happen, and I'm truly grateful to each and every person involved.
To find out more about Bank of America's efforts, visit bankofamerica.com/military support. 2013 Bank of America Corporation, Bank of America, N.A. member FDIC.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, Better Banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at patriotsproshop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
It's Jim from A's Ticket. Now's the time to take advantage of our low-price value games. Whether it's the Boston Bruins, Boston Celtics, or Boston Red Sox, Ace has the tickets you need, starting at just $19. Ace always has the best seats at the best prices, and all our tickets come with a 200% money-back guarantee. Ace has free and easy pickup by Fenway Park or across from the Garden. So treat yourself or someone special. Visit aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
It's Jim from A's Ticket. Now's the time to take advantage of our low-price value games. Whether it's the Boston Bruins, Boston Celtics, or Boston Red Sox, Ace has the tickets you need, starting at just $19. Ace always has the best seats at the best prices, and all our tickets come with a 200% money-back guarantee. Ace has free and easy pickup by Fenway Park or across from the Garden. So treat yourself or someone special. Visit aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
Like what you've heard so far? You'll love it even more when you read it in Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or log on to pfwonline.com.
All right, welcome back to PFW in Progress. Thanks to Christy Berkery for stopping by in the earlier segment. She finished the race just before the first bomb went off, and thank goodness that she's okay and was a little faster than she ever was.
Yeah. Yes.
I think it was crazy.
A good day. I mean, yeah. I don't have any experience, but from my own it felt like I wasn't hot. I wasn't really cold. It felt like it must have been a good running day in terms of marathoners. And
How are you physically? We were talking about this upstairs a little bit.
Yeah, I think I actually benefited from having to walk around and find a rental car. Like, we walked. I think that kind of loosened some. I was sore this morning. Like, the first time I went down the stairs, I was leaning on the railing. But, you know, better than I probably. Some weird things hurt. Like, I don't really know what's below your calf, but above your Achilles, like, there. But that's really sore. Mm-hmm. And strangely, my arms are sore, I think, from swinging, like my bicep and my tricep.
Well, you were flexing while you were doing that.
It was too easy.
No, I think.
I was going to ask
you. Were you in a tank top?
No, I was in the uniform. Okay. We had a it showed my guns.
Hey, you saw my buddy Mike.
He rolled
huh?
it up.
Oh yeah, right before we started. Yeah,
he said that he saw you and he introduced himself to you.
He did.
Mike from the book?
Not from
easy.
The book.
Easy. Are you supposed to say stuff like that?
Not Mike from the book. Mike Bedard, a guy that I coach baseball with.
I saw Greg Bedard too.
Oh, did you?
He goes, "Hey, Jumbo!" or something. He yells it. I think he'd had a couple.
He wasn't running.
No. He was, I don't know, in some little cafe in somewhere, or like midway through the race. But the one thing I did want to say, and I feel like we got to do something, and maybe we can talk to the charitable. Like, the guy that lost his son, like, I don't know. That really bothers me.
He lost not just his son and his wife lost a leg or something?
And his daughter. His daughter. Literally, the guy finished where I could have been finishing. His son ran out, hugged him as he crossed, and then ran back. And right when he got back, that's when it exploded. The son isn't with us anymore. The daughter and wife are both messed up, lost limbs and things.
Right.
And, like, that, I think, is what bothered Deidre and me the most, just because she was like, yeah, I was going to let Jackson run out, put him over the fence and let him run out. It's like mirror image of what could have.
What could have, and he's probably thinking, if I had only not run this,
right?
The guilt that he must
right.
feel.
Right, and I know there are other people that have lost their lives, and those will come out, and just that one hits just too close to home, and I don't know, as a charitable foundation, as a something, I feel like, you'd like to.
I'm sure the Patriots will do something. Along the line, maybe a blood drive at the.
Something. I don't know.
I'm sure they'll do something.
Because you read the reports of the, the neighbors talking about the kid, just Joe average kid who is out in the backyard playing baseball every night, and, the neighbors are never going to see him play baseball again.
Webradio at Patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's take a few calls. I just dropped Orlando.
Oh, boy.
Sorry, Orlando.
I also wanted to say.
Call right back. We'll get
listeners. I appreciate all. Got a lot of tweets, and some people have my email, and just people checking in, and I appreciate that very much. And it's funny to think, like, we're nobodies. I mean, I know we're in the media, but we're nobodies,
right?
And there's people tweeting me from all around the. I saw this, and the first thing I thought of was Big Head. Got to have Big Head back. Where's Big Head?
And Andy,
it's pretty cool.
Fred and I talked about it before you and Eric came in. It was. Unbelievable, the amount of people that were checking in specifically for you and for us as an organization. I can only imagine how many more you had than Fred and I. And
it was very
Eric,
cool.
I'm sure you had a ton too.
Yeah.
Hundreds. We got hundreds of tweets.
Yeah, you know how I
all
kid
over
around
the world.
My Twitter blew up.
It actually blew up.
Yeah,
literally
it was blowing up.
And I put out one thing right after you texted me. I put out a tweet saying that I had spoken to you, and I didn't want to say because it's a very personal thing.
Right.
I just wanted to let everybody know in one tweet that I had spoken to you when you and your family were okay. And it was like Fred said, literally blew up. I was retweeted hundreds of times, favorited hundreds of times. These are from our listeners all over the world.
And right to the point where some people were like, I was tracking you on the thing, and it seemed like you were probably getting close to the finish line at the point. And, stupid to say or whatever, corny, but it's nice to know people care.
It is.
We are a little family, I like to think, on here. And, it's one of those things
where... You've been a jerk like you.
Well, we've helped people. I feel bad. I don't remember his name, but the man who was the Mumbai hotel incident a few years back, and he was like, I was listening to you guys, and you kind of helped us get through it. Or, my wife had cancer, and, you guys kind of helped us get through this time. It's a reciprocal relationship.
Well, that's nice. Chris with the TINs on the phone. I won't hang up on him. Hey, Christian.
Thank you, Fred. I'm good. I'm glad to hear everybody's okay. I just called to give you guys a little perspective. I'm actually in work today, and I'm like a block and a half away from the first spot there where it was mayhem, and it's just really. I've never seen anything like it in here.
Did you have any trouble getting to your office?
I did. My office is located within what they're deeming a crime zone.
Yeah.
And, I had to, explain what my office was and why I came in, because I have 800 data points throughout the city, and they needed a printout of that, because they're all on the ground, and they needed a location, and that's part of why I came in today. The other reason is my boss just happens to be away this week. He goes away every marathon week because it's crazy. And he's been here 34 years, and he's seen it, and usually takes this week off. So, it was surreal coming in. There's it's windy, and there's just the foil marathon like blankets are just blowing all over the place.
Right. I'm sure there wasn't the cleanup that there was usually.
No,
because they
now.
Can't
just
touch
the opposite.
It.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just
the it's the largest crime scene in the history of the city or something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Yeah, they're doing it now. They're slowly shrinking the crime scene and they're starting to like take stuff away. But yeah, it's all you hear is helicopters. And when I got out of the train, it was just news trucks and military guys and, you know, automatic weapons. That's all it was.
Right.
It was really, really creepy. But I usually go to the marathon. It's like one of those things where if you live in Boston, you know, you do it. Like you go to a Sox game. It's one of those things where you just, you know, it's part of the deal. The day's off. You have the day off and you go. And I didn't end up going. I just didn't feel well for whatever reason yesterday. My head, I don't know, my allergies or what, didn't feel like going.
Drinking.
Yeah, and starting to drink at 9 o'clock in the morning wasn't just, you
That'll
know,
do it.
Couldn't yeah. do it. And the people I was with were actually right by the second explosion. They're all okay, but put it this way, two of them used their jackets for trinkets. I'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
So, you know, happy everybody's okay. But it's when you come in and out of here every day and you work here and you've gone to school here,
yeah.
it's really, yeah. really strange.
It is. It is.
Just doesn't seem real, actually, to be honest with you. It's
yep.
really odd, but I'm glad everybody in the nation's okay. And even Fathead, I'm actually glad Fathead's okay.
Yeah.
That's cool. I need
Thanks,
Fathead.
Buddy.
I never thought we'd say that.
Andy
no,
said
man,
he thinks
you,
he
bro.
Saw he thinks he saw a sign that you made that was along
I
the
was. I did actually
did
I made that, but I didn't. Kudos to the guy.
That was very good.
Kudos to the guy.
He should sell those.
Yeah. He should.
All right, Christian.
All right, guys.
Thank
See
you.
Ya.
Orlando's back on the line. Sorry about that, Orlando.
Nah, that's okay, sir. It's all good, man. Hey, listen, I'm glad to hear Andy's okay, man. I mean, that's unbelievably terrible what happened over there. I'm like sitting in a therapy thing for my foot, man, and we're watching like highlights of the Red Sox game and the Kenyan lady that finished and stuff, and we're all like talking about like, you know, Kenyans win every year, you know, which you know, another thing Andy used to say all the time. And it was weird, man, because like, we started talking like about 9/11 a little bit. You know, just somehow it ended into the conversation. Yep. And as I'm walking out, I go past the TV, and there's a little scroll at the bottom that said explosion at the finish line of Boston Marathon. So me and the guy in the therapy office looked at each other like, man, you know, I wonder if it was like a gas explosion or if it was a terrorist attack. You know what I mean? So we just kind of like looked at each other like, oh crap.
Yep.
Get down to a pizza shop, maybe not even a half hour later, and it's like all of a sudden, you know, you sit down and you see the TV, and it's just like it reminds you of 9/11 again. You know what I mean? Like everybody running around, you know, chaos everywhere, and I'm like, wow, you know, this can't be a gas explosion. You know, it must have been intentional.
Right.
And it's you know, you hear this kid dying and everything, man, and, you know, it's really just terrible, man. And
you know,
all I can think of was when it happened was, oh, my God, what happened to Andy? He's all right. He's the only dude I know that's running this thing. So I was just like, man, I wonder what happened to him. But, hey, good to you, Fred, and everybody over there at PFW to let everybody know that he was okay.
All right.
All right.
Thanks, Orlando.
Thanks for checking in, Orlando. Yeah.
He brings up that point about your first reaction when you hear there's an explosion. And I'd say probably, you know, before 12 years ago, my first reaction might have been, must have been an accident.
Right.
And then,
well,
and then later.
Just a few months ago, a transformer exploded in Boston.
Well, sure.
That was
yeah.
my first reaction.
Yeah.
And then, you know, obviously they gave you 10 seconds to get that out of your
yeah.
mind by
right.
the second one going off, and that eliminates any doubt.
Right. But, you know, after 9/11, my first reaction now is prove to me that it's not an accident.
Right.
I mean, prove to me that it is an accident.
Right.
I think it's terrorism all the time
it's
now.
It's like
yeah.
performance-enhancing drugs.
Yeah.
Prove to me you're not
prove
right.
To me you're,
otherwise,
yeah.
I'll
You know,
assume.
We're so conditioned. It's unfortunate our innocence has been taken away. We talk about kids.
Yeah.
Right.
But as a people, you know, no one can blame us for thinking that first.
But it's also
it's so much
puts
worse
us with
kids,
the rest
though.
Of the world.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
For most
mm-hmm.
of the world, they've lived with this longer than we have.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's sort of crept into our life the last 10 years, 12 years. Most of the world has been dealing with this much longer where
right.
bombs, explosions,
war.
Terrorism,
just
war
you know?
is a way of life. It's a reality. And we were insulated for,
mm-hmm.
you know, a long time. And unfortunately, we're not anymore. Although, another reaction I had, you know, as you go through the list of, you know, the first reaction I thought was, and I don't know if I already said, like, I thought maybe somebody died, like a runner, and like they were rerouting the course around like a dead guy or something.
That, oh, that's interesting.
That was the very first thing I thought of. And then, you know, that.
And we had just talked about that issue on the show. What was it, last week? About, you know, remember? Has anyone ever died trying to run a marathon?
Yeah, we had, and that's literally what I thought of. Is like, see, like 80, 90, I'm not 90, but 70
older guys
running. I mean, the one who got the guy in the video who knocked down by the explosion, and that was the first thing I thought. Then you hear the bomb thing, and yeah, I don't know.
It's I will say, I mean, you're trying to find the silver lining, the bright side to anything that happens like this. It could have been way, way worse.
Well, that was the next thing.
If that bomb
to.
Had gone off the way it was supposed to,
right,
could have been way worse at that finish.
Well, that's why my wife was freaking out, because they were, I don't know where they were exactly, but the Heinz is right there, and they're thinking that's sort of the centerpiece. And, you know, if that blows up, you know, if this is some 9/11 like thing and it blows up, then it's, you know, let's get the hell out of here. And that's how they ended up in the summer shack. But I'd like to thank them, too, for the potato chips. My son was very happy to eat the nice bartender at the summer shack. My son very much appreciated the, quote, salty potato chips that
salty
they gave
potato
him.
Chips.
They were really salty, Dad.
Yeah, you know, my wife worked the medical tent every year for a long, long time. She worked in there, and she did. One guy had a heart attack.
Well, those people.
And this was years and years ago.
Can you imagine, though? I mean, they went there thinking, there's going to be some dehydration. I'll give an IV.
Exactly.
I'll tape an ankle. I'll massage a calf. And then all of a sudden, they're dealing with people without legs.
And you didn't
triage
get to see it.
Because,
I mean, you know, unfortunately.
This isn't what you do. I'm not in Iraq. I'm not in a war tent where
you should have seen the look on some of these people's faces. Some of these, they had a line of nurses that were there. And it, like I said, it turned into a triage center immediately. And these people were not prepared. These are not like ER nurses that are used to dealing with horrific injuries all the time. Like you said, they're there to make sure you have a little
minor
IV
stuff.
Fluid.
Yeah. Right.
And you know, put the blanket on these people, because they're going to be dehydrated.
Worst case scenario is maybe a heart attack. An old guy has a heart. I mean, that's worst case.
And, you know, like my
there
wife
should never
was,
be any blood involved.
My wife
in
was
America.
Talking about it, and she said, you know, all those years, we never had it. We had one time there was a serious incident. And just she was trying to put herself into that caregiving, you know, mode. And, you know, fortunately, you know, for her, she didn't both her and my sister, coincidentally, both were called into work yesterday morning, and neither one of them was able to go. They were very busy at Mass General, and they were both called in, but it's a vacation week here, and there's all kinds of things set up with the kids. They couldn't go. And I'm, you know, obviously very thankful that they weren't.
I mean, I was listening to one nurse who, like you said, Paul, she was assigned to be an IV nurse that day. And she said, I was just not prepared for this.
Right. No.
You know, she was on the scene and went over on that other side of that barrier. And I just can't imagine, like, you see the smoke, you go to see what's happening, and then it's just like the most horrific thing you've ever seen.
Well, the description was limbs everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, you could see from the helicopter shots, like, blood everywhere.
Everywhere.
I mean,
Jonathan Elias was sort of anchoring the coverage at the finish line for Channel 4 here locally. And first of all, I thought he did a phenomenal job of just sort of keeping everything under, keeping his composure. But some of the stuff that he saw, and he was sort of, you know, kind of hinting about and then talking about
trying to paint
the picture as well as he could without being too graphic. I can only imagine what some of those people went through. And I don't know if, Eric, if you noticed this. I don't know if you were watching the Boston State or what you were watching, but there's a real big, tall camera guy.
Yes.
His name is Brian.
Yeah.
He's here all the time.
He's got the goatee. He's got sort of salt.
You'd know him
hair.
If you saw him. I don't know
really
him well, but you'd know him if you saw him, definitely.
Yeah, he was being interviewed.
Evidently, he had a camera on one shoulder, and he was ripping bike fences. I mean, he's a big guy.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And Jonathan Elias was saying how he was just, like, moving debris to try to help people and get at people. Those bike fences are not light to just move with one arm and stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, just that's
I did see him
the kind of
stuff
that they were talking about.
Another guy that is often in the Patriots locker room, Steve Silva.
Oh, yeah. His.
He's got the little camera.
Yeah, evidently.
He had the iconic video of the whole.
He was on CNN last night. They were showing his footage and talking to him while he was talking about what he saw and everything.
Yeah.
For a while, they were crediting another Globe person.
Oh, really?
Zuri
Berry
was getting credited for that.
He tweeted that. Yeah,
right. So he was getting credit for Steve's video for a long time.
Steve Silva's video. I didn't actually watch the video.
Steve's is the one where he's sort of at the line, and then he runs to where
the
flags are
toward it. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so they were crediting Zuri with that for a long time because
he
tweeted it.
I did see it posted by Steve Silva, and I saw Zuri Berry was retweeting stuff afterwards. But yeah, I wasn't up for watching the video any more than what we were seeing on
but,
TV.
But, I mean, even that response, you know, to I mean, I know as journalists, that's part of our thinking is where there's a story, you go to the story. But you just see something blow up. And, you know, you're not in the military. You're not trained. You're not a first responder. You're not trained to do
that's
that.
Not, that's his not what
first,
you sign up for.
His first response was to
he's
go
not
towards
even the news
action.
Media.
I mean,
he's in
know.
Sports.
Right.
You know, he's supposed to be talking to a guy who just finished about the marathon. Like,
and he ran right over to.
Speaking of, he's on TV right now on ESPN.
Oh, yeah. I mean, just
looks a little
bit
like
incredible.
Michael Keaton.
Oh, yeah.
A little
I
bit.
I see
yep.
that a little
yep.
bit.
Let's go to
Give
the phones
to
again.
To make it light.
Olivier's in Virginia. Hey, Olivier.
Hey, guys. I'm just calling to check on you, make sure your families are okay and you guys are you guys are fine after what happened yesterday.
We are. Thank you. I appreciate it.
I'm glad that you're okay. I was thinking about you all day long. I was thinking about you because you were running, and then after what happened, I was praying that nothing happened to you and your loved ones. So I'm glad you're okay and you're in one piece.
Yes, I appreciate it. We are we're very blessed, very lucky.
Yeah, that's good. All right, guys, that's all I had to say. I know that hopefully things of that nature will not happen again, but the truth is that we live in a very, very dangerous world, and we cannot do enough to keep our liberties and keep the way this country is, and we have to fight to protect it. That's all I have to say, and go,
true.
Pat.
Thanks, Olivier.
Care,
thanks, Olivier.
Olivier calling in from Virginia.
We should mention that, I mean, you may have mentioned this before, but I don't know if you saw Danny Amendola.
Oh, yes.
Donate.
$100 per catch
and
$200
per
drop. Yeah.
So
to whatever legitimate fund is established for the marathon relief.
$3,500 in the toll, that's good.
You should've
trying to keep it.
No, you should have said, wow, he's gonna donate a lot with all those drops.
Right.
No, see, I don't think he'll drop any.
He won't have time to be on the field.
Too
enough,
bad
right?
Brandon Lloyd didn't do that.
How about $300 for every
game
quarter missed because of injury.
Now that could be profitable.
No, it is.
Oh,
it
we
is
should
a,
also mention, I mean, Aaron Hernandez.
There are a few, and we wanted to sort of stay away from. But there are some newsworthy items. First, the schedule, as everybody probably knows by now, is not getting released today.
But we do know when it will be.
But
Paul.
It will be released on Thursday, evidently at 8 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
So Eric, you've been wrong all along.
You can look for that. I'll blame Eric. I'll blame Eric. I like it. Blame Eric.
Sure.
Also, a couple of news-related items.
So Thursday at 8.
Thursday at 8.
Since our last show, the Steelers decided to match the offer for Emmanuel Sanders, which is not terribly surprising. A lot of people didn't think it was too difficult in terms of the cap, PFW in Progress included, despite the fact that we were ripped and ridiculed for saying that.
No, the only people that didn't want it to happen, it seemed like we're Steelers fans.
Right. Oh, no. Whether or not they did it or not.
Steelers fans were like, we'll take the pick.
Yeah, we'll take the pick. Right.
Forget about money.
We
stated
to me
that
it was a philosophical issue. Do you want the player
right.
or not?
And fans did not.
And we thought, from what we were saying, Ed Bouchette and everybody else, that they were going to let him go. But apparently they thought something of him.
I think it's all about Mike
continuity.
Wallace. They didn't want to lose two of their three receivers.
I think Big Ben said, whoa, what are you doing to me?
I need him.
You're going to make me go with what? No.
So the Patriots will not be getting Sanders, so that's good because Fred won't misidentify
him. No, I wanted him. I'm not going to be one of these people that now that they can't get him say, we didn't want him. No, I really wanted him. I'm upset that we didn't get him.
I meant good that you wouldn't be mispronouncing his name, that's all.
No,
once someone
related it to Colonel Sanders, I'll never forget his name again.
And today,
for a guy who's not relevant to us anymore.
Right.
Today,
you learned him. You'll never say it again, but you learned him.
Right.
Not so buddy Ian Rappaport reported today on NFL.com that Aaron Hernandez underwent offseason shoulder surgery.
The hits just keep on coming.
But, so he's going to be sidelined for a good portion
did
of
that
the
just
offseason. No. It's not clear when it happened.
Yeah, see, is
Which
he
might,
out there
well, it might explain
with Brady
why,
or not?
Well, that might explain why he wasn't catching passes.
First of all,
with him.
He was never training with Brady.
Oh, he wasn't?
He was spending some of his offseason in California, but he has not. Those other times that Brady was throwing, Aaron Hernandez was not reported to
No,
be
but
there.
He's saying is that why
I'm
he
saying
wasn't?
That's why he might not
oh,
have been
no,
there.
No, that's Eric's point. Maybe that's right. why he wasn't doing it. But Fred, I think, was saying that there was reports that he was working out with Brady.
Well, that he had moved out there to do that.
To do that, but he hadn't thus far. Now, Eric's got a good point. That might be why.
Right.
Evidently, he'll miss OTAs and minicamp, but is expected to be ready for training camp, according to the story.
Right.
I think this is good news. because I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt and say the reason he sucked last year catching the football, maybe he had pain.
Okay.
Maybe his shoulder, maybe the fluidity wasn't there with his upper extremities. I'm going to turn this into a positive because it's a negative that he's going to miss OTAs and minicamp and all that.
What about, you know me, I like to look at the negative. The fact that this is another injury.
Well, that's bad. I said I was taking the positive.
Meanwhile, they've gone and re-signed Human.
Right, which for some reason I thought happened like
a long
time. Oh, okay.
They officially. You know,
he was done.
He signed his tender.
Yeah, a long
time ago.
That's all
that happened.
Didn't he like announce it?
Oh, I don't know if he.
I thought he signed it a while ago. I thought that was already done. But
yeah, over the weekend the local guys.
That's a fair swap. We trade Gronk for Ballard and Hernandez for Omanawanui.
But he was a restricted free agent who was tendered, so he was going to be back unless someone offered him an offer sheet, which you know.
Nobody but the Patriots does to Steelers.
Right. James in Brisbane writes in. He says, first of all, glad to hear Andy's okay. I honestly can't quite fathom what happened. I had a Patriots question to ask, but it can wait. Instead, I wanted to ask you guys, what do you think about the city of Boston using sports like the Celtics and Bruins to help them move on from this?
I don't understand the question.
Well, I think in terms of therapy, getting back and using.
So you think that they shouldn't have canceled the games?
No. But I think
they canceled games.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah,
the
Bruins
got canceled last night.
Game
the Celtics
last night.
Game was canceled.
I think going forward.
Oh, I didn't know.
Well,
that.
The Bruins were postponed. Celtics were canceled.
They're not rescheduling.
Not
apparently.
Rescheduling the Celtics.
Using life's distractions like sports to help you get through times, you know.
Well, that is good, but at some point, logistics also play a part.
Well,
I mean,
clearly there was no way that they should have played the Bruins game last night. They
right.
Not
literally
have had, at 17,000 people going into the city at a time
o'clock,
like that.
I had cops yelling, pull a Yui and get out of the city.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think he was talking
and the
about...
And the hotels were on lockdown. They were marathoners who got back to their hotel were told, you're in for the night.
It's logistics, and it's also... You need time to put these things in perspective. Like on 9/11, you know, obviously on a bigger scale, but the NFL canceled games that weekend.
Right.
Because you needed time to process this. This is a traumatic experience for... You know, even if you weren't directly involved, if you live in the area... This is your home.
Right.
Your home is under attack. It's a traumatic event. You need time to not to be, not to shut it off. You need time for your brain to process what's going on.
And then the next step is reality.
Exactly.
Return to normal.
Exactly.
And they do. I do think sports does provide an outlet for everybody. And I know it was very helpful for me at 9/11. Once, you know, I don't know if you guys recall how memorable that World Series was. With the Yankees in Arizona, but that was, you know, that was a great way to sort of put it past you and move on. But you couldn't play a game last night in the city.
Right.
No.
Now, you know, if they were on the road or something like that, that would have been different, and maybe it would have provided an outlet for people to watch it if they were happen to be playing in Ottawa last night.
Right.
But just, you know, the logistics of it all aside, like Eric said, you're still processing. Andy, again. You missed a lot of this stuff because, unfortunately, you were living it inside it. But the first time they came to brief us, Governor Patrick talked, and Commissioner Davis spoke. There was a fire at the JFK Library that they originally thought was a bomb.
Right.
And
they thought it was related.
Sure it wasn't?
No, they're pretty sure it wasn't.
Yeah. I'm kind of falling on Eric's.
No, they're pretty sure it was.
Proof to me that it's an accident.
Because I got to be honest with you, as they were talking about that, and he was saying there was a third bomb. At this point, we're not sure that it's related, but there was a third device that went off at the JFK Library, and there were no as they were talking about it, I was thinking, I actually said to my wife, it doesn't sound like this was a bomb. It sounds like this was a fire.
And the library actually tweeted out, I think, police are investigating or authorities are investigating, but basically they were saying it's really
and then about an hour later, they came out and they said that there was an electrical fire.
Well, it didn't really make sense. All I could think of is maybe somebody was like whoever had done this was like on the run and just tossed something, and that's kind of where
it caught
ended
on fire,
up,
right?
Or something.
Yeah. And that's when they made the announcement that it wasn't that, I looked at Beth. I said, "Thank God, because at least now like there's a semblance of it being over." And now they're just trying to figure out.
Oh, yeah. There was a lot of, like, your wings down the
next
street.
Of course.
I heard they found another one. This and that.
Well, the New York Post was leading the charge in misinformation. They said 12 people had died and five, you know, all this stuff. And, you know, there was a lot of stuff going
that
around.
That was scary because it's one thing to know that, okay, a bomb went off at the minute. But when you're hearing
when
they found
more.
Two more, or they found two more. So at some point, somebody said they found two
9/11,
more.
9/11. It was one plane, two planes, the Pentagon,
right.
A plane in
different cities.
Right.
It was spreading. When does it end?
Attack.
Right. Everyone. Yeah. I remember because I was working TV news then, and the thought process from a newsroom standpoint was, well, which city is next? Are they going from East Coast to West Coast?
Right.
Is Chicago next? Is LA going to be next? You know, you're thinking about like how much this is going to spread and how fast.
That's why I was freaking out a little bit because that bothered me. They found two more.
Yeah.
And then my wife, like, I had garbage in my hands and I was like, I looked at a garbage can. I'm like, yeah, I'll just keep it. Like, because I'm thinking if I open a garbage can, it could blow up.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Like, that was the scariest part.
But like Paul was saying, with the JFK, if you were going to do bad things, that's a remote area.
Right.
It's sort of. It's not within walking
distance. No, but it's symbolic.
Means.
And they didn't
symbolic.
Get it.
It's a symbolic
place. But there's not a lot of people.
No, but that's why I was thinking if he ran that way and they just threw a backpack out the window as they're in a getaway or something and it went off there.
Yeah, but it's down.
It'd be a hard way to have run from the Met.
No,
right.
I know.
That would be a harder run from Hopkinton to Boston.
I didn't say I was thinking logically. I was
right.
thinking, what the hell's going on?
Absolutely not. I mean, there was no logical thought.
Update me on the I had heard something about somebody on surveillance camera. Like, where are we in that? Like a guy with a backpack or
well,
two backpacks?
Well, they were
know
questioning.
How much of that is
you know, again, this is who knows, but they had a Saudi national who they're questioning that apparently was acting suspicious before. Then afterwards, they saw him running away and somebody tackled him, and they've got him in custody, and he supposedly smelled like gunpowder and his hands were burned or. So who knows? He's denying any involvement.
I think that was the guy that the New York Post originally said that
right.
they had.
And then they have another guy on camera who said was acting suspiciously, tried to get into an area where it was restricted, and then when they wouldn't let him, avoided eye contact and put his hood up. So that's another person that they're looking for. And then they raided a Revere apartment early this morning and took out
three large
packages from there.
Well, I also saw them carrying what looked like a roll of like wire or something.
Yeah.
That kind of – I was like, why would you have a big roll of wire?
I don't know.
I mean, I guess you could be a cable guy or so. Who knows?
So, but. This is all still developing. They don't know. The fact that this – as of this afternoon, the police were still asking people to come forward with any video, any photos, tells me that – They're still looking for stuff.
Right.
They
well,
still
yeah,
need help.
Because even if you have one guy, you don't know how many were involved, whatever.
Yeah.
But that's the one weird thing. Like, I haven't followed it really because, like I said, we tried to keep it off the radio and the TV. And because my son wouldn't go to bed, I mean, I basically have been with my kids since the whole thing happened. And I haven't even talked to my wife about really because we don't really want to talk about it with them around, sort of.
How's she doing?
I think she's okay. She was a little worked up. I think she's really happy that she was with her sister and brother-in-law. I think that gave her a little.
Well, she had stability.
She
had someone to
but
lean
it was, on.
She wasn't the only one in charge of other people.
That was the one thing she said. She was tagging. She's like, I don't know if it would have been better or worse because if I was by myself, I would have known I had to.
Had to suck it up and.
Yeah, I couldn't
it for the
be.
Kids.
Out of control or lose it, and then and her sister kept telling her, you can't lose it here because then your kids are going to lose it, and you need to. So, I mean, she's cried a lot. I mean, she cried when she saw us.
I cried a lot.
Jackson cried a lot, and she kept saying,
I wasn't even there.
Like, well, we got to go home. We're going to go home. It's okay. But and he was fixated on me because he hadn't seen me yet. That was the whole thing. Like, where's my daddy? I want my daddy.
Right.
Which is pretty cool. I mean, in a weird way.
Did you take him back to Dartmouth to find him?
What?
No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, that ain't right.
Wow,
Paul. Really trying to keep it light.
It's like the other
trying to play the role of Andy.
It's like the other day I said, I like to say a brother from another mother. And Jackson goes, I want a brother from another mother. I look at you, I go, that okay?
Well, it's like when you said that, when you woke up this morning, it was like weird things hurting. My first thought was, does it burn when you pee?
No. That feels okay. Everything else is pretty sore.
As I said, we're getting a lot of emails from people wishing everybody well. Thank you for that. I'm not going to read all of them because they're
you very much. They are appreciated.
Yeah, they're all basically
but
the same.
You
and
keep
we
sending them
it.
If you want to.
Yeah,
but
they are all appreciated, and we are reading them.
Yep. Everyone gets read by us.
It is just still so weird.
Yeah.
Like, I keep getting like you think of these things like Anderson Cooper was live in Boston. Like it's never good when Anderson Cooper shows up. It means something major and bad happened.
This morning when I clicked on the TV in Good Morning America and they're right on right in Copley, and I'm like, you know, it's just like, not that you didn't already know the scope of just how it was, but then when you see all the national people
and
starting
to, you know, the president doing an impromptu address and the all the sporting events, moments of silence. Yep. I thought that was actually really cool the way, and I've only seen bits and pieces of it here. And I saw on Twitter
the
boatload of people, you know,
the Montreal Canadiens had a moment of silence.
Yeah, but even like individual people, with some with connections to New England, some without connections to New England. I saw Will Middlebrooks tweeted out, like, you know, proud to put on the jersey of the strongest city in the world.
Messing with the wrong city, something like that.
I don't know what that means, but, you know, there was a lot of that.
It doesn't have to mean anything. It's just, like, sometimes we think these athletes are just rich, self-centered, who can... They're not. I mean, they're for the most part, a lot of them are human beings and care, and they're people. And
the
I don't know. I think it's nice.
Did you see the Tribune sports page?
That was very cool, too. The
Chicago
Red
Tribune.
Sox,
yep. We are. It said, you know, had all five included the revolution in there. And it said we are Chicago Red Sox, Chicago Celtics, Chicago Bruins, Chicago Patriots, Chicago Revolution.
I think somewhere the Reds are like, woohoo, we made the cut. People
but
know
no,
us.
I mean, good. I mean, it's a gesture, but it's appreciated, you know.
And
New York did something too. There was like a New York heart and the Red Sox logo B on there. You know?
I think that's kind of cool for whatever little it means. And the other thing I actually heard, I don't know if you guys, the Newtown families were right there.
Oh, yeah, there were some families.
Chilling. I'm sorry, but are you effing kidding me?
Chilling, like, chilling.
Yeah. Yeah.
How much can those people have to go through?
Right.
Talk about not.
They were in the grandstand.
Not feeling safe nowhere.
No, but that's what I mean. Like,
you
know, I say you have to live life and you can't just sit at home, but they probably feel like, I'm just going to sit at home.
Right.
Because
you can't blame
life
them.
Sucks.
Right. Yeah.
It's just. Ugh.
Yeah. I was going to say something, but I forgot. So I'll read an email. Aaron from Long Island, New York says, just my opinion, but I don't mind if you spend the whole show talking about this. People need to talk about it. It's the off season. Football can wait.
Yep.
Thanks for being there. I just heard the part about Andy's boy. I hope he comes to love the city someday as much as the rest of us do. It's really a wonderful place full of wonderful people. Eventually, I'm sure he'll realize that once time gets him further away from the shock, kids are so resilient. I have a 5-year-old. My thoughts are all with you.
Yeah, I think he'll be. I mean, it's just fresh. It's just
new. And he's young enough.
I think that it'll dissipate.
I mean, he won't ever forget it.
Right.
But I think maybe the shock of it. After a while, he'll come to associate Boston with other things.
Yeah.
He's young enough that can still happen.
Yeah, it's just too fresh. I mean, it's less than 24 hours.
And he's starting, I mean, it seemed like he was upstairs when we were playing with him, and
he seemed like he was trying
to move on a little bit.
It's not like he's, like, moping or anything, but like I said, we were playing Legos this morning, and he just blurted out, I saw a man with blood all over him. Like, we weren't talking about it. I mean, I'm not a child. Psychologist or whatever, how those things work.
We can all remember things that we've.
Those, you're a child.
There's certain things that you see when you're a kid that you'll always remember. I mean, I remember what those are. Mm-hmm. You know, things I saw on TV. I remember. I grew up. I'm older than you guys, but every night at 6 o'clock was the Vietnam War on the nightly news, and it was graphic at times, and you saw stuff.
Right.
And I just remember that every night. I remember Geraldo Rivera before he was the nut that he is now. Was an investigative reporter for the Channel 7 News in New York, and I remember he did
during
this,
the Vietnam War.
In the late '60s, he did an expose about this mental institute for kids called Willowbrook, and for like every night for like 3 weeks, it was these graphic pictures of these kids and this horrific. And I'll just remember, you know, being 8, 7 years old, seeing these every night, and I'll never forget that the Willowbrook. Series that Geraldo Rivera did.
It's all coming together now.
Yeah. Well, he's been around for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
No,
and,
I mean Fred.
And he was
Fred's development.
I mean, that's
and
how
he was
made
a pretty
name.
Respected
that,
guy at, yeah. at one point.
First
one
time
point.
I remember is the vault, the Al Capone's
Well,
vault.
That was after he...
Yeah.
But this was how he
When
became,
he had the show, when he got his nose broken
with
the chair.
This is how he became, like, legitimate. This was... He really made his mark on news with the Willowbrook series. Hmm. And I remember that in Vietnam and... I remember seeing that cat in the middle of the road with his intestines coming out. You know, things like that you'll never forget, you know?
And now, unfortunately, neither will I.
Right.
Yeah.
We should also mention, as we kind of bounce back and forth, the start of the off-season program.
was yesterday,
right?
Yesterday,
right?
As well. Yeah,
because I was when I was outside, I saw a bunch of players. Gronk,
your favorite off-season warrior, Tom Brady, was there.
Wow.
Yeah,
he fit in his schedule.
Yeah,
that's impressive. Why does he have to really be in town?
I don't know.
No, he's
best buddies this weekend.
It's not the time. No. Well, there was a big but. Matter of fact, the gentleman that you met yesterday that introduced yourself to him was running for best buddies.
Oh, okay.
He's the one
I
who's
knew he said he was running.
He's the one whose neighbor is pretty tight with the local best buddies. Does the stuff with Tom when they do the Harvard Stadium event, the flag football game, and he's the one he convinced my friend to run. It was, matter of fact,
how did he do? Did you talk to him?
He didn't finish, but I haven't talked to him yet. I went back and forth with emails. Just to make sure, same thing, just to make sure everybody was all right. And it was funny. We had that huge snowstorm in February. Mm-hmm. When did you decide to run it?
December.
Okay, well, that huge snowstorm in February, he was out with his neighbor, the head of the Best Buddies guy, and they were trying to, clear off the street and stuff. He lives on a little cul-de-sac, so clearly, you're like the last ones that the city thinks of when they're plowing streets. And that was a big storm. So they're out there doing all this, and they finished cleaning up, and they're having a few beers, and he's talking about, NFL Network. And they were talking about your
look for the biggest head.
Well, they kept squeezing us in, and I was like, I can only squeeze so much here.
Ooh, I know. His arms.
Is that you with the visor?
His arms were just too big.
I think I was on one. Yeah, I was on the side.
They're showing a picture of all the people who ran the marathon on behalf of the Patriots on NFL Network right now.
So they finish cleaning up and they go in, they have a few beers, and my friend's got a few in him now, and the guy starts telling him, because we've had a few guys bail out on us, and we really need some more for the team. That's when he convinced him to run.
So he didn't train until February.
He didn't start, and that was into February too. It was close to pretty close to the middle of the month by
that's,
the time. And his knees have been killing him. He's really, he's not he's in better shape than I am, but that's not saying much. But he's not an elite athlete by any stretch of the imagination either. So for him to run it was pretty big. And, he didn't get to finish either.
By the way, you just got brought up on the Sports Hub when I was on.
I hope it wasn't anything making fun of me now.
A little bit. They said, before I went on, they said, and first of all, I want to say, aside from maybe us and Paul Perillo, Andy Hart's the last person I thought would run a marathon. He's not exactly built for it.
How they work, how do they do it? How do they, that's really going around the corner and taking a bus to get to a spot to take a shot at me.
Better shot to run the marathon, you or Gresh?
Oh, I think I would have a better shot than Gresh, don't you?
Because he was lumping you in with his grouping. And Zoe, I think, could run it. I mean, he was a professional athlete. If Zoe wanted to run it, he could run it.
He would constantly be running off the track and hitting things.
Well, plus he would stop and he'd have to tell stories to everybody along the way.
Right. The news is he could watch a crowd on both sides at the same time.
Speaking of 98.5, a guy that you do the morning with, Rich Schottenlieb, is that his name?
Yeah.
Schottenlieb.
Schottenlieb?
Yes.
Schottenlieb.
He was very much
literally above where the bomb went off.
Oh, really?
That's where he lives.
Wow.
He lives there, and he's with
his
family.
He's got a 2- and a 5-year-old and a wife who's dealing with chemotherapy.
In that building?
In
that building.
Wow.
Literally above it in the fourth floor, and he said that he took his kids, and they ran down, and he tried to avoid where the people were because he didn't want to see the kids see it. But people literally got blown into the store, and they were all over the place.
Oh,
and so
God.
they found the back stairwell, but people were there too.
Yeah.
And they tried to go out the back alley, but there was no way to avoid. They ended up going about 4 blocks away to a friend's apartment to just get out of
stayed.
It.
Yeah. And he had tweeted out initially, a window just got blown into my building. Does anybody know what's going on? He had no idea what was happening. He had just gone upstairs. They were down. He had his 5-year-old down watching about 45 minutes earlier, and then they went back upstairs, and I guess the 2-year-old was taking a nap, and he was going to bring them both down when he got up from the nap. And like I said, his wife has been pretty ill. She's got leukemia and dealing with chemotherapy. So when they ended up having to leave and they went to this friend's house, she's got a mask on because obviously she's extremely susceptible to any kind of toxins that are in the air. And they didn't take her medication with her, so he tried to get back to his apartment. They wouldn't let him.
Right.
and he ended up having to go to a local hospital. And you can imagine the red tape he had to go through to try to get the medication. You know, with all the hospitals are basically on either lockdown or they call it a code amber around. So it wasn't easy for him to get that. But
yeah, I saw like machine guns in front of some of them.
It's just remarkable.
There's Sports Illustrated just came out every week. They email. I don't know if you guys are on the email list for SI, but they email out their cover every week and they promote the issue. They just sent out this week's, and it's an amazing photo of the first responders when that elderly guy at the near the blast who wobbled and fell, he's on the ground and three first responders cops are just jumping into action. It's an amazing photo.
By the way, that
and
guy
the cover,
was 79 or is 79 years old.
That's pretty
really
impressive.
The guy who fell.
Yeah.
So it's,
by the way.
Yeah,
he was way ahead of me.
Well, unbelievable.
But you had a sprained ankle.
I think he's from Washington State, and he came to run it.
But he might have been in a better wave.
Yeah, I don't want to be all trivial, but how is your ankle? Seriously,
fine.
Like it didn't really bother you that
it
much?
It was sore like mile five to something, and then I don't know if it loosened up or numbed up or other things started bothering, like my legs started to bother me more. And
was the pace what you expected? Or were you going faster than you thought you would?
What was it like
slower
at the beginning?
Or it was really bunched up?
Yeah.
Because you like, I mean.
Start pushing people out of the way.
No.
What, you just
not,
use your arms to
I'm
get
I'm not trying to win.
Space?
And plus, your time is on your bib. I mean, you have a.
Oh, really?
Like a. Yeah, it starts when you go over the start line and stops when you go over the finish line. And
oh, right.
I don't know exactly how it all comes together technically, but like we were. Wave three, Corral 9. We were as far back as you could get to start the marathon. We were, you know, 26,000, you know, 25, 26,000.
You know, it's a lot of people when they put you in corrals.
Yes, yeah. Yes. I feel like a cow or something,
right.
Like, over here. And so they started, like, Teddy Bruschi was at the start line and somebody else. And they were, like, you know, getting everybody revved up and talking. But then you're just walking towards, like, it has, technically the wave three had started. But I'm just walking forward. And he's like, you know, they're saying, oh, here comes the Tufts charity crew. And here, you know, hey, put it together. And you're just far. You can't even see the start line. You're way down this little hill, kind of. And then even once you, okay, so you start running. When you get the start line, you start running. But it's still elbow to elbow. I mean, just sort of a trot.
Yeah.
And it took a while to, you know. And then even when it spread out, I was telling Eric, it would spread out on the downhills and the flat, but then when you start to go uphill, it would kind of start to, you know, people would slow down and would start to bunch up again. And they tell you, they beat it into you to go slow. You know, it's downhill, you're going to feel good, but go slow. It's a long race, you'll regret it if you get, you know, don't expend energy trying to weave in and out and jumping in and out. So I was just kind of staying with the pace of the pack, and it was fine. It started to spread out, and then it's really enjoyable once it does spread out, because then you can kind of look around and
you can take it all in,
see things, and like I said, you start reading signs, and you know, people would just go, "Hey, Patriots," or "Hey, Mr. Patriot," and whatever. And you know, I did a little of the, you know, there's kids everywhere. I did a little of the high fiving, but then
right.
You're like, I gotta just jog here, kid. Sorry,
right.
Like I gotta focus on finishing this thing. But it was a lot of, you know, there's a lot of parties. I was surprised. You know, bounce houses in front yards with kids bouncing
and, you know,
people drinking and cooking and
music.
Well,
I mean, it is it's a community event. People who live along the route have been doing this. They do it every year.
But I figured, okay, I expected that once you got into Boston and but this was, I mean,
oh, yeah.
Way the F out
oh,
there
yeah.
everywhere.
I think it's bigger for the people in the suburbs than it is for the people in Boston in terms of that stuff.
Cool.
In Boston, it's sort of like the 20-somethings that go in for a day,
right.
Like Christian
right.
said. You know, like a day to just go in and enjoy, have some drinks. On the, what else can you stand on the side of a Boston street and just drink
right.
without any repercussions?
Well, you used to do it every weekend, right?
Right. Illegally.
Not with no repercussions.
I put that picture up on the Facebook page, that SI cover, so if
people
are listening.
Yeah.
And then I did want to say we had one listener – like Cleveland Circle, somewhere in there. Somebody goes, Andy Hart, and he held up a PFW T-shirt.
Well, that's
nice.
Why I was wondering how many of those you got.
Yeah, I had a few Andy Harts here or there, but he actually held up that green PFW
that's
logo
great.
Shirt.
And you had nowhere to go behind the red velvet ropes, so
no,
you actually had to acknowledge
no,
that.
No, luckily there was bike fence between me and him.
I got a marathon to run.
It was at the point that I was crossing some tracks there, so I had to focus on the footing as well.
Oh, a lot of people trip on that stuff.
Yeah, you do kind of have to look down, and at that point, I mean, you're, whatever that is, 20 miles in.
Did you have music? Or
Unfortunately, well, I don't like headphones, and I had my music on my belt, but I couldn't really – it was so loud, you didn't really need it. I mean, yeah. There's so much going on. There's music along the way. People have boom boxes or even, you know, DJs actually
you
set up.
You kind of want to soak it all in.
Yeah,
anyway.
I was glad I didn't, yeah. But I actually screwed up because I had my phone tracking me on my app because – my wife wanted to track me. You can kind of cross track, and then but then I forgot to. I had to flick the switch to recharge it because, and I forgot, and it died. And then I remembered, so I don't know how much it missed in the middle. But according to my phone, by the way, I actually ran a marathon. I don't know how. Wherever I started it, it was 26.23 that I ran. And Christy had actually told me that from last year that she did it, and because of you know crossing the road and all that
right.
You pick up along the way, when
gotcha.
She finished last year, it was 26.9 is what she actually.
Because you're not running a direct straight
right.
line, you're moving
right.
a little bit and
so,
veering.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I was trying to stay in the sun at some point. I was trying to stay on the.
So you ran 26.2. That's
yeah. what my
you
know, thing said,
that's, and that's what a marathon yeah. is.
I actually was watching a little bit of the women's race earlier, and they were talking about tangents. And that's exactly what they would mean. Did you happen to see any of the women's race
no.
at all? Evidently, there was a
who watches that.
There was a woman from. Well, I got to be honest with you, I can only imagine what this is doing to the people that like this event. I've been one of those people. I don't really care about the marathon at all, and this devastated me. And I think just because of the fact that Andy was running, I was sort of more in tune with. Putting it on and watching, just not that I knew. I knew you weren't going to be, you know, going till the afternoon. But you know, I'm watching the women's race, and evidently this woman from Portugal broke out of the pack with about, I don't know, 8 or 10 miles left, and she had like almost a 2-minute lead, and she was heading into like the home stretch. She got to like within 2 miles, and she had this huge lead, and she just couldn't hold it.
The refrigerator jumped on her back.
Absolutely, but they were talking about the tangents that she was running that were like really, really good. You know, she kept cutting time, but she was going too fast.
Right.
She was a 2:25 mile marathoner, which is, as they put it, like an A-minus marathoner. And the ones that were chasing
Jag marathoner,
her,
as Andy might say.
Jag. Yeah. Front of the mill.
And she got caught, and I don't think she even finished in the top five. I'm pretty sure that she was, you know, she ran out of gas.
I just happened to see somewhere the men's rundown. It looked like there were three guys that were pretty close. There was the winner, and then there was like 5 seconds, and then two guys within like a second of each other.
Yeah, they had
top three.
The end of the race, but they were going into the last mile or so, and they were pretty close. I had to go pick up Will at his baseball clinic, so I didn't end up seeing any of that. And obviously, there was no aftermath of the marathon
right.
the rest of the afternoon. So
that was actually something beyond not crossing the finish line. I was actually disappointed to not. I wanted to try to like run. Like, you know, they say you turn the corner there and you get like a rush because you can see. And I wanted to see if I could like pick
Sprint.
It up a little bit,
yeah.
and, you know, pass four people or whatever,
right.
run, you know, run past a couple guys. And
right.
I never got
when
to
did
that.
How where were you on the course when you realized that you were going to finish, that you knew you had it?
Pretty much the top of Heartbreak Hill. I was like, I mean, it's pretty much downhill from here. It might be slow, but I'm going to keep these legs moving. You know, I was segmenting it, like there were like little things along the way. I was kind of, you know, you start selling, well, you're a quarter of the way there now. And now, well, you're pretty much a third of the way there. And then I knew my wife was going to be somewhere at 16, 17. So they were kind of a goal, you know, get to them. And
that
gave me a little boost.
Thrill.
It was very cool. I almost missed them because they were actually right at the power gel station. So I was over getting power gel. And then all of a sudden I heard them yelling. It was a nice orange cream. It was yummy. But that was very cool. I guess Sydney kept saying, my daddy kissed me. My daddy kissed me the rest of the afternoon after, because I ran over and I gave him each a hug and a kiss as we were going. So I would have caught you, Christy, if I hadn't done that. But yeah, I kept joking yesterday that Heartbreak Hill is legit. I mean,
yeah.
And that's where like some of our, I think Pearl, lives right in there somewhere.
Yeah, mile 20.
There was a
right
whole group
20.
Of them that were basically like three quarters of the way up Heartbreak Hill, and they were all cheering. There was a whole group of Patriots.
Yeah, so
Dwight said you look
there.
Great. When
yeah,
you
I don't think that's
there.
True.
He said he did. He said he looked great. It was he was going to have no problem.
I think I could have walked the speed I was running. I mean, I was just telling myself I'm not stopping. A, because I didn't
want
to stop.
You don't
and
want
B,
the body to break.
I also
yeah,
yeah I wasn't sure if I
Once
stopped.
Once you stopped, if you
because there were people just
again.
Peeling off left and right there,
really?
Walking, just
really?
You know, and stretching.
How was your?
I farted the whole way.
Yeah.
First, somewhere about 4 to 5 miles, thought there was a little squirt that came out.
Just to let everybody know, when Eric said how was the old, he sort of like rubbed across his stomach, you know, to indicate Andy's intestinal problems.
Yeah.
And but yeah, I. other people were too. I mean, you'd run along and you'd hear a wah, wah from somebody in some direction.
It wasn't the Aflac duck running the marathon?
And I was doing that, you know, every mile or two. And I was worried because Dwight, who works here in the graphics department, Dwight Darien, he's an experienced marathoner. And he was saying, he knows I have some IBS issues. He was saying, be careful with the Gatorade, especially early, because that can get your IBS kind of going.
Speeds you up.
So I didn't, like, the first, I don't know, five, six water stations, I went to water every time because it's, they do it, you know, there's a Gatorade for three tables and then three tables of water. And then the other side, Gatorade, three tables of water. So I always did the water. Then I accidentally took a Gatorade and then I started to feel sore. And I'm like, well, maybe I need the electrolytes. So that was like halfway through. I was like, well, even if it starts to affect me, I can hold it or, because that's the other thing. People just peeling off to go to the bathroom.
Oh, yeah.
Lines at porta potties.
Really?
Somewhere right around mile one, at least 25 men just went off into somebody's yard into a driveway.
Mile one?
We're all just pissing.
Wow.
Just men everywhere pissing.
Yeah, how did you must try to hydrate like crazy and then all of a sudden?
I guess, or nerves, or.
I was going to say, what did you do in the morning? Because you had to be there really early, right?
Sad and sad.
You couldn't eat.
Well, I was eating.
You were eating?
I mean, you got to. I had breakfast at. I got up at 3:30, had breakfast at, you know, around 4. And we weren't going off till 10:40, so I was 6 hours from breakfast to start, and then you figure another 4 hours. You know, that's 10. You got to have something. So I was, I had a power bar, I had some pretzels, a small bagel. I was trying to get stuff in my system so I didn't run out of. But it's just a lot of sitting and waiting. And we were lucky because we had a private bus that takes because we're a charity team.
Yeah,
right.
But if not, you get on a school bus in Boston, they take you out, and you get off, and you just have to.
Right.
Lay in the grass. They have tents. They have a village.
Yeah.
But it was much nicer to have a bus to be able to sit on and use the facility in the bus to pee. I didn't poop in there. I went to the big ones to poop. But.
Let's go to the phones. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298.
Just the fact that you had a poop is amazing.
039
is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Ontarius is in Peoria, Illinois. Hi, Ontarius.
Hey, it's Ontarius.
Okay. What's up?
Not Ontarius. Hey, how's it going, you guys?
Not too bad. How are you today?
I'm doing good. This is actually my first time calling in. I usually just listen in whenever I can. I just want to say you guys do a wonderful job. I love listening to you guys. To Andy, I'm really glad that you and your family are all the way well and you guys came out unscathed. I don't know about emotionally, but I'm really sad by the tragic and devastating events of yesterday. So I'm glad you guys are all right.
Thank you.
With that
appreciate
said, obviously we didn't get Emmanuel Sanders. What do you guys think about Denario Alexander being a Patriot?
Yeah, you know, we brought him up a little bit last week. I think that he's a guy that is intriguing. You know, he made a lot of big plays last year in terms of touchdowns.
Yeah, it was like one out of every four catches or something was a touchdown.
He's been injured a lot, and I'm guessing that's why he's sort of
didn't get $30 million over 5 years like Danny
Amendola. Yeah, and that's why he's got a
low. You got to think about it. I mean, I'm pretty sure the Patriots are smart enough to protect themselves over that. So,
yeah, no.
I really like the guy.
He's intriguing. You know,
it's not about protecting yourself as if he's hurt
and
he can't
value,
help you. He
right.
doesn't, you know.
If you commit to him as your third receiver and he's not there, well, now you're scrambling. Now you're signing Dante Stallworth again and you're worried. But it would be interesting. I mean, I haven't heard any connection, any rumors.
I haven't either, but that doesn't mean there's nothing there either.
No.
I agree with Andy. I think it's one of those deals that if you're relying on this guy and all of a sudden he's not available or ends up getting hurt again, you know, what have you gotten? You know, you don't, I mean, it's not going to cost you a ton of money. He's got a low.
Right.
Got the lowest,
I think the ballpark range is like 2.5 or something like that. I know the Boats gave him like a 1.3 evaluation or something.
Yeah, he
like
got
that.
the low 1.3 tender or whatever. But,
the problem is, you know, we talked about Hernandez today. Okay, so he had surgery.
Right.
And we know Gronk is failing to, you know, get rid of this infection or recover as fast as could be ideal.
Personally, I think he needs to change his doctor. I don't know what's going on with that.
Well,
I'm really sick of it.
Yeah. Whatever the issue is, it's an issue. And everybody has an issue. Danny Amendola, his issue is just his track record. And then Donald Jones is just kind of a guy. And Jenkins is old and slow and just a guy. And
well, he could be old reliable.
Well, if he's old reliable, then I have major concerns about the offense. And that's my problem is, who are you relying on? Theoretically, you should be fine. You have Gronk. But that's all theory. the one guy who you could always rely on no longer plays for the team. And I'm not trying to over-dramatize Wes Welker's departure in any way, but who do we say is going to be it? You know, who can we count on? And you don't have an answer.
I really can't say.
That doesn't mean it won't be good, by the way. It's just
exactly.
You don't know. You don't really feel secure in saying, pencil this guy in for X. Well, I can't because of this reason or that reason, whatever it might be. That's the concern.
If we do have Gronk and Hernandez healthy, then
you're fine.
But that's really the if Andy's talking about.
Right. You'll be fine. If you have Gronk and Hernandez healthy, then I am pretty confident that some of the other guys will fill in with productive seasons.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because we still got backs that can come out of the backfield and catch balls like Shane Vereen did last year.
Donald Jones, also
Julian Edelman,
whatever receiver they draft, they're going
to
draft a receiver.
We got back Julian Edelman.
Sure, even if he gets hurt, he's going to give you six games of incredible, of some production, and then whoever they draft, you may be forced into developing like you haven't been able to, and giving him some chances, and maybe he catches a couple, you know, big plays or touchdown passes.
Speaking of the draft, who do you guys think that we're going to go after as far as wide receiver goes?
I have no idea. I mean, my guy is Malcolm Williams, and
Terrence Williams.
I mean. Yeah, who's Malcolm Williams?
Former defensive back.
My guy is Terrence Williams, but Justin Hunter.
From Baylor.
Yes, okay. I'm very much intrigued by him, even though he has small hands and drops some passes and all the, you know, they all have warts. You know, he seems like a pretty good, productive guy.
I watched Tennessee all last year, and Justin Hunter, what do you guys think about him?
He's the guy that everybody loves. But I'm not quite as sold on him. He's got a lot of potential. And he certainly has the well-rounded tools, I think, or potential tools. But I'd be fine with him. If they draft him, I am going to be excited for the potential of whoever they draft.
We have to. And
yeah,
I think that would be the – I'm not saying he is Randy Moss, but he would be the closest thing to Randy Moss if he puts in the time and effort.
Right. There's a lot of potential. Yeah, I mean, there are guys that I don't even like. Dobson, the kid out of Marshall, I don't really love. Mm-hmm. But if they draft him, I'm going to be excited they have a young receiver that they're going to try to develop. So that's all I care about. The only way I'd be disappointed is if we go through the first three rounds and it goes, you know, Barrett Jones, some defensive linemen.
I can't imagine that they don't draft a receiver now that they lost Sanders.
We have to.
I
really wanted Emmanuelson. I really did want him.
I did. I'm not going to paint that any different way than now that they can't get him than before. I wanted him, and I think they need him.
I really wanted him. Yeah. I was really happy when we signed him the offer sheet. I was really happy about that. Yeah. Then Sunday came, okay, look, we wake up tomorrow, and Emmanuelson is going to be a Patriot. Then my girlfriend actually told me that they matched the deal, and I was highly upset about that.
Highly upset.
I wouldn't get that upset. I don't think that's a make or break
issue. From the receiver core that we have now, he would have been a nice acquisition.
A nice addition, but I don't think he's the reason why you will or won't be competing Super Bowl.
And that's Gronk and Hernandez.
Right.
But you
But he would have been another guy as insurance
Thanks, Ontarius.
Because I still agree, if you have your two stalwart tight ends, you're going to be okay. But that would have been another guy in the mix that, okay, if – Donald Jones doesn't pan out is another option.
Right.
Yeah. I just don't know if he's any better than a second round pick. That some guy you take. Terrence Williams.
It's weird that you keep calling him Malcolm.
I feel like Fred.
Yeah. Let's see. Let's stick to the phones. Jamie's in Houston. Hey, Jamie.
Hey, guys.
What's up?
Hey, Jamie.
Hey, glad to know that everybody's okay. And Andy, you and your family is good. I tweeted in as one of many of the hundreds that did. And so that's. You know, that was on a lot of our minds, and so
appreciate it.
Being from originally from the Lowell, Boston area, it really hit home here. You know, many miles away, even in Houston, I came up in the golden age of the marathon. I mean, that Boston Marathon was like the big event that had Boston on the map, and you know, I mean, that's still a big part of our identity, and you can take a kid out of Boston, but you can't take Boston out of the kid. And, I remember growing up, that was a big spectacle around this time of year. Johnny Kelly, a longtime marathon guy, they would always, Bob LaBelle would always have him on commentating afterwards because he was running, up until the early 80s. Yeah. Bill Rogers and Dick Hoyt and his son, all iconic pieces of of Boston for me growing up as a kid, and to see it, you know, put in that spotlight. I know, you know, it's affected many of us, and you know, I think a good piece to highlight is all the great smaller stories, you know, afterwards, you know, in the midst of this, people bringing people in their homes, and the merchants reaching out to everybody, and
it was awesome. The people coming out of the bars and restaurants, do you need anything? And as you said, there was actually a thing on Google where they had people were offering their homes. You know, I can sleep too if you need.
You can sign up for a list.
The
Globe tweeted out, I think, a spreadsheet somebody had put
very
together.
Very cool. Very cool.
For anybody who was interested in looking for that kind of thing.
Yep.
Yeah. And so, you know, being a security guy, it also hits home. I've served the country and been in international places and still focus on security and terrorism. So it, you know, it kind of hits me on many fronts. And being a father of a young child, you know, my heart goes out for that family. That's forever. It changed. But
what branch did you serve, Jamie?
Yeah, I was an Air Force guy. Served in Kuwait, in Korea, in Panama, and so been here and there.
Thank you for your service.
You're welcome. Thank you, guys. And so having that background, police background with that, we're famous for our gallows humor. So Andy, you at least had an excuse to poop yourself yesterday.
There. So, hey, Jamie, with the background that you have, what does this smell like to you, this whole incident?
I mean, if it's not terrorism, you know, what is it? You know, don't want to get political, but we don't want to rush to judge. Really, you have, you know, an event with two explosions timed, you know, within 14 seconds of each other, targeting crowds on Patriots Day on a high level media. You know, what do you think it is?
Yeah.
So
the question I think now is it domestic terrorism foreign?
Because there's a lot of red herring in there right now. You've got you know, the Saudi individual who's, you know, may or may not be you know, a real character, and I would be very surprised if it is domestic, but it's that type of world we live in.
Well,
you
it's
have
all,
the McVays, you have
that's exactly
Terry
what
Nichols,
exactly
these other guys.
Andy and I were coming to the show and walking down the tunnel, and we were saying this is the same week that you had Waco, you had Oklahoma City, you had Columbine, and you had Virginia Tech. All this week, the middle of April.
And last
April,
year, didn't that guy
and those were all domestic terrorists.
Fly the plane into the IRS building last year?
Was a couple of years back.
A couple years
and
ago?
Actually, it's around this week, and a lot of that is tied into, I think it's the 20th or the 21st, which is Hitler's birthday.
Oh,
and that was a part of the Harrison Klebold, the guys at Columbine. That was their BTK day, or NBK day, Natural Born Killers. They were big into, that was their theme of that movie. They were influenced by it, but also Hitler's birthday is right there on that time frame, and that's been the anniversary that these nut jobs have acted on. And Se-Yung Cho, who was your West Virginia guy, did it, you know, in honor of the anniversary of Harrison Klebold.
Good God. All right. Well,
nut jobs.
Yep.
But take care, guys. Thank you for all you do. My heart goes out to everybody in the greater Boston area. And Boston keeps on keeping on. And keep up the good work and keep us all distracted and keep us entertained. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Jamie.
Thanks, Jamie.
Jamie's in Houston. Reno is not in Nevada. He's in Tennessee. Hey, Reno.
Hello.
Hi.
All right. First off, say I'm a huge Patriots fan, and I'm a fan of this station. Y'all are my Tuesdays and Thursdays afternoons.
Thank you.
And Wednesdays during the season, don't forget.
Oh, yeah.
And anytime via podcast.
Yeah. My question is, with Aaron Hernandez getting that surgery on his shoulder, do you think he's doing that so he can play a full season?
Well, most of his missing time issues have been lower knee and ankle extremity problems. He had an issue that he had to get cleared up. The positive, as I said earlier, the positive I tried to take out of it is maybe that hurt his catching ability last year. Maybe he wasn't, you know, totally fluid in his movements up there, and maybe that's a reason we saw too many dropped balls and ball security issues. So if you're looking for a positive, that's what I'd say. I wouldn't say a shoulder surgery is going to allow him to stay on the field any more than anything else, just training in the off season.
Okay. Second question. I'm a huge fan of Rob Gronkowski. I love him. Do you think we'll have him for the whole season? Do you think this thing will clear up, he get his fourth surgery, and we have him for the beginning of the season, or do you think he's really going to miss a few weeks?
No, I mean, you have to think he'll be ready. I mean,
I would hope so.
A major story if he has an infection that lingers into September now.
I mean, he might be ready to suit up and play. My concern for him is that his arm, that left arm, is not going to be at equal strength with the right arm.
Right.
And how is that going to affect how he blocks, how he goes to catch passes?
Because you're going back to November where he's had an issue.
And hasn't been able to work that out.
Could go through, say, June. Well, that's a long time.
That's a long time.
7-8 months of not being able to do what you really want to be doing in terms of training and upper body strength.
I mean, so, 1 week, you could notice a difference in atrophy, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you don't work out one arm or the other. I mean, that's
who knows what he's doing and not doing?
Well,
because he's a whack job.
True.
I mean, remember when he was curling his brothers on crutches? And,
right.
I mean,
thanks, Reno, for the
for
call.
Better or worse, he's a whack job.
And following up Reno from Tennessee is Anthony in Reno.
Oh,
hey, Anthony,
wow.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. Yourself?
Okay, so be honest. You heard Reno in Tennessee. You said, oh, I got a call because I'm from Reno, right? Okay.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Don't get so rowdy. We got it.
Calm down.
It wasn't just a coincidence.
Calm down.
Hey, Andy, how you doing? How was the experience running the marathon?
Until the end, it was awesome. I mean, it was absolutely... I mean, it's really cool. Just the people cheering, the experience.
Loud?
Oh, yeah. There were places that it was extremely loud, and then other places where it's just, you know, normal cheering or people yelling. And I give people credit. I don't know. I mean, I'm 4 hours in, I mean, way back, and they clearly try to pick out, you know, some people wrote their names on their shirt. I have my name on back. I have Patriots on the front. They try to engage personally as many runners as possible, and that's I mean, that's very cool. That's effort. That's, you know, going the extra mile. You know, that's Paul wouldn't like that. They were standing up and cheering.
Oh,
and...
don't like that.
You're such a...
But no, it was very cool, and I would highly recommend it to anybody. It's a, you know, great experience. I kind of missed out on the last little bit of it, but Chrissy really had to rub that in, didn't she? but no, it's a pretty cool thing. The whole experience from start to finish of training and then doing it the day of.
I wonder if they won't make an exception this year and just give everybody a medal.
I told my wife, I got to think they're going to send me a medal in the mail.
Well, I think that they'll either do that, and I was actually saying to Fred and Christy, I was talking about it with
give
her
me something.
Earlier. I think that, you know, when we get to the bottom of this, and hopefully we can do this quickly, and the FBI, you know, figures this out, but I think like a month from now.
Have an event.
Have a huge event. And
let
really do
finish.
It up and have a huge celebration.
That's a great idea. That's really
first thing I thought of yesterday afternoon.
Hadn't thought of that at all.
Have,
that's a phenomenal
like recreate
idea.
The finish line.
Just recreate the
and
whole thing.
Have everybody
and
just go through it.
Make it an over the top celebration and invite, you know, everybody into the city.
Right.
And have just a celebration of the Boston Marathon.
That's a great
and have all
idea.
These people that were stripped, you know. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to be disrespectful for the people like you put it perfectly, Andy. You know, you lost your opportunity to go across the finish line. Other people lost a lot more. And
right.
I'm not trying to trivialize that. But there was so many thousands of people that worked so hard.
For months.
And raised so much money.
Years.
And they were stripped of that exhilaration of going across the finish line. I think that would be a good way to do it. And just celebrate the healing process.
Speaking of, Matt LePan writes in, glad all is well. Wanted to let Andy know that he can still get a finisher's medal if he wants to. They're giving them out in Boston today. Saw it on the news and wanted to pass the info along. You deserve it, Andy, and I hope the family as well.
I like Paul's idea. I think Paul's idea is phenomenal.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah, I don't know.
And I could get my picture too.
I don't know, you know, how the logistics
wanted
would work
that
on that.
Crossing the finish line.
But I do think that they should try to do something like that.
Because I was joking with my wife when we went to the expo. There was a booth selling, like, whatever they call those shadow boxes or like thin boxes, and they put your medal in it.
Oh,
a picture
yeah.
Picture of you crossing the finish line. They engrave it with your time, you know, Boston.
Awesome.
And I was like, I guess I'm not getting one of those because I don't have the medal. I don't have the photo.
Right. You don't,
you don't have an official time.
I right. have the bib. I can actually put the bib in. That's all I have. That would be really cool.
Yeah.
And maybe you could turn. I mean, I mean, maybe this is crass or people wouldn't be willing to do it. And some people couldn't go. I mean, a lot of people fly in from
all over the
national
place,
and international.
Absolutely.
But
absolutely.
I'll be honest with you. I'd pay another $25 or $20 and make it a charitable thing to some fund so I can get my medal and I can get my chance to cross the finish line.
Sure.
I certainly would.
Rod's in Atlanta. Hey, Rod.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
Andy, I'm glad you're okay. You know, I was at work, and I got in my car and turned on the radio, the local radio, and I heard about it. And the first thing I did was check Twitter to see if you were okay.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And I apologize to people that I didn't tweet earlier. I probably should have thought of that because of the support I got from this radio show and our fans and our listeners donating to the cause. And Fred's right. That money is still very much going to be put to good use, and that was still impressive. But, yeah, I appreciate the support everybody had on Twitter and email.
Yeah, the longer you waited, the longer I got, you know, the more I got nervous. But I thought that, you know, you're with your family focusing on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that was the first. I was with my family, and then, as I said, I was trying to figure out how to get out of the city, and then my phone died. So I was out of luck for a while.
Well, yeah, like, I don't know if it's domestic terrorism or if it's international, you know, Al-Qaeda or whatever, but it just amazes me, you know, I'm from Brazil, I'm not an American, but, you know, most immigrants love this country so much, and, you know, when something like that happens, we take it personal ourselves because, you know, the reason that we came here is the same reason that people hate this country, because, you know, the freedom and the equality that we have here, and it's just it's horrible. And, you know, I serve in the military, even though, you know, I'm not an American, because I truly love the United States, and it's just really sad.
Thank you for your service,
Rod. I think you're absolutely right, and it's good to hear someone with your background saying that. It just makes us feel good. Thanks, Rod.
And I do, I mean, leaning towards domestic terrorism simply because it seems like people usually try to take claim
credit
for these.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, and if I mean, I actually saw some official Pakistani Taliban or Al-Qaeda or something had officially said, we didn't do it.
Right.
So usually it's like they're falling all over each other to take credit.
Right.
And it seems like no one is taking credit. So
yeah, it's no matter what it is, it's senseless.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
well, not to them.
That's
the one thing. They think – you know, that's what I think is somewhat
change.
Ironic.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. For their purposes.
Patriots Day is about revolution. And they think they're doing something that in 100 years will be celebrated for, you know, they fired the first missile that started their revolution. It's sort of like the religious wars. I mean, they believe in what they're doing.
Oh, I know. They believe in what they're doing. But I'm talking about in terms of finding out and making us feel any better about it. I don't think no matter who you end up, it ends up being is going to make it any better for anyone, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, who, you know. Michael writes in, he calls himself Michael the Dane. He says, yay, no Sanders deal. I hated the Sanders deal. All draft reports go on about the wide receiver position is deep this year and the most value is in round 2 to 3. Now we can go for the double dip in the wide receiver position. Looking forward to the draft this year. And in draft picks, in the first round, I think we should go for a cornerback or a rusher if we don't sign Abraham. I would love to see the Patriots draft Justin Hunter in the second round and Derek Rogers in the third. And P.S. Eric, when is the schedule coming out?
Thursday, 8 p.m.
Unless it changes, he'll let you know. Because I was pretty sure he said the 16th, right, last time.
Yes.
And we blamed it on Eric. You
conditions on the ground have changed, as Fred likes to say.
They have.
Conditions on the TV network have changed.
And you know what? They made the change. I mean, I know some of you might be thinking, oh, they changed it because originally it was supposed to be tonight. Maybe they're trying to honor Boston. They had actually changed it last week.
Oh, yeah.
We heard last week that they weren't going to do it on the 16th anymore.
It was never the 16th.
No.
Technically.
Right.
It was a placeholder on NFL Network.
But most people assumed that, barring anything unforeseen, it would be the 16th.
When the initial reports came out from the national people that were saying it's on NFL Network on April 16th, Stacey James, our media relations director, was in contact with the NFL office, and they said that's absolute fiction. It's not the 16th. We're not saying it won't happen on the 16th, just that it hasn't been announced.
Right.
We don't know when it's going to be unveiled. It was a placeholder for NFL Network.
Right.
And unfortunately, everybody, you know, like all the national guys started, you know, tweeting it out as if it was fact. It was never fact.
No.
Fiction.
So
and
Eric is
we
right.
We talked
about
it on
the
show
the
about
thing.
Why it, you know, may not be the 16th. What are the things that could prevent it from being the 16th? And we think they're ridiculous. You know, Paul, you said, I can't believe that you know, they can't get this thing right. But we all agree that there are reasons probably why they just can't get it done because of politics, networks.
Well, I think the Baltimore situation probably threw a monkey into it as well.
They were counting on that.
Being, I mean, Robert is big into TV, and Robert thought we were opening up in Baltimore.
Yeah.
So clearly there was, when was that, a month ago? About a month ago?
Yeah.
Up until a month ago, things certainly weren't solidified or even close. I mean, they didn't have the first game done, never mind the rest.
Right. let's see. Mike in Florida says, glad you guys are okay. I have many friends in Boston, and I held my breath waiting to make sure everyone was all right. I've lived in the U.S. for over 20 years, almost as long as I lived in Canada. I have often been asked whether I consider myself American or Canadian. I never really gave it much thought. It's very strange, though, when these things happen, the bombs yesterday, 9/11. I get a very deep feeling of patriotism. I have never felt more American at any other time. It's a feeling of who did this and a deep hatred for those who feel they need to endanger our freedom. I hope we find out who is responsible as soon as possible and take action.
And, you know, it's a good point he brings up because I'd like to think if Montreal were attacked or Ottawa or Vancouver, you know, during the Olympics, if something had happened there, I'd like to think that as Americans with so close a tie that we have to Canada,
we
would feel the same way,
you know? You know, it's not an attack, but Haiti has terrible earthquake.
Sure.
We're there to help.
Sure. Well, that happens everywhere. We're always the first to show up in a disaster and help people out.
But we do
to feel it, like as individuals.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's, you know, you make fun of Canada sometimes. You know, you poke fun all the time but
America's hat.
Whatever. Yeah.
But that's part of the.
I'd like to think that we would be compassionate enough to feel for those people. If something were to happen, you know, on a national, like when London had their,
they had a bombing,
what was it, the 777 subway bombing in July, you know, it's the same kind of thing.
Yeah.
We could empathize with them, even though they're thousands of miles away over there. It's a human instinct more than it is
the support. Remember the
national
tsunami,
mm-hmm.
the outpouring from America of support and money and relief that came to, you know,
well, that's what you're talking about is people, you know, humanity rises to the occasion.
They always
for the most part, which totally off topic. And I don't know if you guys have talked about this off air, but one of our former coworkers here on Patriots.com radio became a former WEEI employee on the air. Yeah. I read something on Twitter.
Fred actually tweeted.
Yeah,
Fred texted me.
Actually,
Pete Shepard is who I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
He quit on air.
He quit on air.
He at 6:15 after his his stint on Sunday.
Saturday or Sunday.
Sunday. He announced that he's quitting. He couldn't work for the company anymore. They don't return his phone calls.
I don't think they're going to now.
Yeah.
They had
gone.
A big story on him in the Herald yesterday.
Did he finish the show or did he?
Show.
At the end of his show, he signed off and said he's quitting.
I thought he just like maybe in the middle
of it. I didn't hear it. Fred actually pointed it out to me.
Yeah.
Good news out of Orlando, Florida. Dale Earnhardt died.
But I laughed because he had this story yesterday that in the Herald, and he had quotes and he's saying obviously this company is going down the toilet, and it's clear to see the direction it's going, and blah, 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 blah. And he says, you know, this isn't the end for me here in Boston.
I bet he actually said it that way. Da, 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 da.
You know, this isn't...
Joe, hit your meat.
This is... You know, this isn't the end for me. You know, I still plan on working in Boston.
So does that mean Fred's phone's going to ring at any moment here?
But I'm thinking to myself... You just quit on the air, and you think the other station's going to hire you?
Right.
You're a loose cannon, buddy.
Yeah, radio stations don't take kindly to that.
I can't imagine they would.
Yeah. They don't like it when you go rogue like that.
And this was real, not like some of their other past incidents.
So
it'll be John Halama on the mound against El Duque.
So will
who
he
knows
be back?
He might appear, rear his head wherever Glenn Ordway is. So who knows?
Can he get his old show back?
No.
You're making my
We've
point.
Gone in a different direction. Andre is in Panama. He says, so glad Andy and the rest of the Patriots team is okay. My thoughts and prayers go to those who weren't as fortunate and to their families. Is there any way I can support all the way from Panama? I don't know. American Red Cross might be.
Yeah, it's still in the early stages.
You can buy us lunch, but that has nothing to do with what happened yesterday.
Even Andy didn't ask for lunch.
Yeah, you're...
Well, he didn't say support who. If you want to support us, you can.
I got to think there will be. You'll be made aware of ways in the coming days because there are going to be a lot of people that need help. I mean, it's not just the people that lose their lives, which, as I said, that one really struck home to me. But you have a lot of people that are now wheelchair ridden, yep. and prosthetics.
There were a lot of people that lost limbs.
And I don't know enough about, you know, medical insurance and all that, but there are going to be people that are going to have problems. You know, their homes are no longer suitable to them. Their cars are no longer suitable to them. Their nothing about their life is the same as it was before that bomb went off.
Never take it for granted. Never.
Yeah, I mean,
never take
it
for granted.
I can't even imagine in, you know, you saw some of them, people just, like, as Christian said, people turning stuff into tourniquets to save lives,
I mean,
and stop bleeding.
You don't
and,
have to be religious
no,
of any it's, in any way, but when you wake up in the morning, be thankful to something that you are
and
awake.
That's what I said earlier. It's
when you go to bed at night, thank your whoever for having lived a day.
You know, I was, as I said, I was looking to finish the Boston Marathon, and, yeah. and it was I had assumed it, and it,
right.
it changed 30 seconds later when everybody just stopped.
Right. Christian says, "Hey, Fred, Paul, Annie, and Eric, just wanted to drop my well wishes to you and to Boston. It's amazing to me that as soon as I read about the bombings, the first thing that came to mind was Andy's well-being. I live 5,000 miles away, and I didn't hear about it until a couple of hours after the fact. The relief I felt when I saw Fred's tweet about Andy and his family being okay was akin to hearing about a close friend being safe. I've been a listener for 6 years and hadn't realized how important you guys are for me." Well, that's nice.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
I hope you have the time to read all the messages that you're receiving these days, and I know that everyone has you in their thoughts. Be safe and strong. Keep bringing happiness to everyone in the PFW family in this time of need. So,
thank you. Appreciate that.
Yeah, like I said, we're getting a lot of emails.
Real quick update. London is running a marathon
yes.
this weekend. Yep. They are going to observe a moment of silence for what happened in Boston yesterday. Just thanks to our friend Jamie McRae, who tweeted that over to me.
All the guys from the UK were
yeah.
emailing and tweeting yesterday. All very concerned.
Since they want me yeah. to give them what they want and be normal Andy, I did see some very nice
oh, yeah?
breasts and bums during the race. You know how
a lot
we
of
had
bouncing?
Talked about? Well,
not really.
Some of them clearly didn't bounce much because they weren't real. But there are a lot of you wouldn't think runners, but there were a lot of skinny women with big tatas that were clearly fake.
Okay.
But there were some nice tushes, too. You know, we talked about maybe that would be some motivation. There was some time spent behind some young ladies.
You could probably, like, be run next to them and, like, pretend you're tripping and get a cup of
feel
and not get in trouble.
As Billy Madison said, that's assault, brother.
Jordan's in Canada. Can't help but remember you guys asking each other if anyone's ever died in the Boston Marathon. Thoughts and prayers go out to the city of Boston. Quick Patriots related question. Do you think the Patriots will work out T.O.? Bloody hope not.
N.O.
N.O. That's right.
Faux show. Hell.
Hell no.
They'll work out with him, but not.
I just don't think it's going to happen.
Right.
I don't have a little wittyism.
We used it all up for you.
That's my quarterback.
Let's see. Mike says draft picks. In the first round, I think we should go for a cornerback like Xavier Rhodes or a rusher if we don't. I think I read this already.
Yeah. You know what made me angry?
Never mind.
We went with Dayton Jones.
Correct.
And, like, nobody was on him. And now everywhere I look, people are on him. All these mock drafts. And it's going to look like, oh, they just went with the guy that.
We certainly didn't steal it off a mock draft.
That pisses me off.
Now, I also don't think there's any chance it's going to be a hit.
Well, but,
but we didn't steal it from a mock draft.
Damn it.
WCC writes in, I was following Andy's progress online yesterday on and off. So happy to hear that he and his family are okay after the cowardly act at the finish. Thanks to Paul for getting that info out on Twitter. Like others, that was the first place I looked for info. Just want to express a sentiment that I am sure you guys and the rest of the media will receive en masse over the next few weeks. This act of cowardice only serves to further motivate myself and others I know who do these events to do them more. And now with more determination, I have an event on Saturday morning and can't wait to get to the starting line at this point. Semper Fi. P.S. Well done, Andy. So
thank you.
And thank you for your service.
Another stupid thing that just popped in my head. When we picked up my bib at the Heinz Convention, there's a firehouse right across the street, and there was a fire engine backing in, and my son thought it was awesome. Then we walked by, and the firemen are just leaning on the trucks, just hanging out, and I was thinking, that's a pretty good gig. And then yesterday I was thinking, that's
right.
not a very good
it's
gig.
Great gig right up until
they need you.
Something happened.
Right
yeah.
up until
they need you.
You know, two days later, a major thing happened, and it was scramble time.
Yeah, as if the day weren't bad enough, and I have no idea what the outcome of this was, but about 9 o'clock last night, big fire truck goes down my street, and you guys know how small my street is. There's eight houses on a cul-de-sac. And they went down at the end to the house on the side. Everybody came out. I don't think it wasn't a fire. I don't think it was, quote-unquote, an emergency. It was just a fire truck. There were no ambulance that followed, no police. But I don't know exactly what it was. I was speculating that maybe it was like a CO monitor or something that was malfunctioning, which happened in my mother-in-law's house 1 year, and we had to do that. But then about a half hour, it left, and then about a half hour later, it came back. And I was trying to get the guy's attention, but I mean, I don't know if there's like privacy. You know, I just said, you know, everything. I looked out and said, is everything all right? And he just kind of nodded at me, and as he had a back. I mean, the street's so small, he had a back.
Right.
You can't turn around. There's not enough room to turn around. So, you know, on top of everything else that happened, I got these flashing lights.
Yeah, you don't want extra lights and sirens yesterday.
Well, remember 9/11? I mean, every time you heard a plane go overhead, you looked up, you know?
Yep.
So it's going to, you know.
It took a while for the planes to go back up, though. Remember? Yeah. There were several days. What was it, five days?
And yesterday they had a no-fly zone in Boston over the, I heard somebody say that.
Well, they got the helicopters out of there after a while. Yeah, because there was a lot of news cameras up in
there. Stephen
the
Lynch is working for Big Oil or something. Sign kept flying over, and then it was gone. And I was like, good job. Yeah. Keep advertising. A-hole.
Well, it's going to be, you know, people going into Boston, I think, you know, it's going to be a little bit before we get back to normal.
Yeah, it sucks.
Yeah.
No other way to say it. It sucks.
You know, every big boom, car backfiring, that type of thing, kind of have people on edge in not just Boston, but all the major cities, any place where people are gathering.
And that's what they want, right? That's what terror is.
Yeah,
terrorism.
That's what they want. Yeah.
It's mental as much as the physical.
Right. Sure. Because it lasts long.
Fear.
They can only kill X number of people, but if they can affect the whole radius of the population, then they feel like they've succeeded.
We'll take one more email. Chad from Georgia. With Gronk possible being out for a while, do you guys see Ballard being a valuable option, not only in the pass game but in the blocking game as well? I think he would be a good weapon, but will he be used at all now that they sign Hooman? I hope so. He showed a lot of potential while he was with the Giants. So is he a good fit or just another tight end on the roster?
I think he's a good fit. I mean, I think he's the closest thing they have to a true Gronk backup. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not saying he's good or anywhere in the – but I'm just talking about sort of the versatility of skills, the ability to be a big blocker.
Yeah,
that.
Similar size.
Yeah.
Everything.
But he's not going to be the receiving threat other two guys are. So you need those guys back.
Mm. Gronk
but
is irreplaceable.
And neither is Hooman.
Ballard is a better combination than Fels or Hooman, but he's not going to give you, 80 catches like Gronk and Hernandez do.
And he's not going to, go in the red zone and in double coverage. He's not Gronk. Gronk's a freak. There's only one Gronk. And then it's just nice to – you can't make Hernandez. Well, yeah, but you can't make Hernandez. And you can't make – they can't be Gronk. At least you might get some of the duality and the versatility out of Ballard in a, similar but much lesser replication.
All right, a little programming note, the off-season conditioning program has started. So we are going to, I'm told from Aaron Salkin, PR guy for the Patriots, who does an amazing job, that he's going to start efforting guys to be on the show. We could have had Sebastian Vollmer today, but, with everything that happened yesterday, we didn't want to kind of get too off that track and it'd be kind of awkward. But I guess looks like we've got Kyle Arrington on Thursday.
Cool.
And then going forward, we're going to get a lot more players similar to what we did last year. So that's something to look forward to on the Tuesday and Thursday show. Want to thank everyone for their emails and tweets and texts.
Yes, thank you.
And all their concern for Andy and for the rest of the Patriots that ran. Thanks to Christy Berkery, who sat in and let us know what it was like for her yesterday. And we will be back on Thursday. We'll talk to you then.
The American people refuse to be terrorized because what the world saw yesterday in the aftermath of the explosions were stories of heroism and kindness and generosity and love. Exhausted runners who kept running to the nearest hospital to give blood and those who stayed to tend to the wounded, some tearing off their own clothes to make tourniquets. The first responders who ran into the chaos to save lives. The men and women who are still treating the wounded at some of the best hospitals in the world, and the medical students who hurried to help
saying, when we heard, we all came in. The priests who opened their churches and ministered to the hurt and the fearful, and the good people of Boston who opened their homes to the victims of this attack and those shaken by it. So if you want to know who we are, what America is, how we respond to evil, that's it. Selflessly, compassionately, unafraid.